Radio Network. This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. An alleged top Al-Qaeda associate is now reportedly calling for stepped-up attacks targeting American, British, and Jewish interests. In a recording aired earlier by Al Jazeera Television in Qatar, the voice, believed to be that of Ayman al-Zawahiri, says Iraqis are not alone in their fight against the occupation of their country by U.S. troops. The speaker on the tape also called for attacks on British and Jewish interests. The authenticity of the recording, though, has not yet been confirmed. Three Moroccan men who were allegedly planning suicide hijackings targeting Saudi landmarks are now in custody of Saudi Arabian officials. Authorities say the three men who were taken into custody in the Saudi port city of Jeddah were planning to take over a civilian airliner. Bombings last week in the Saudi capital of Riyadh killed dozens of people, including eight Americans. Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan says sufficiently low inflation rates plus the, quote, quick conclusion to major fighting in Iraq has helped curb anxiety over the nation's economic health.
The start of the war and its early successes, especially the safeguarding of the Iraqi oil fields, were greeted positively by financial and commodities markets. Stock prices rallied, risk spreads narrowed, oil prices dropped sharply.
Greenspan made his comments earlier testifying on Capitol Hill before a Congressional Joint Economic Committee. He notes the price of gasoline has fallen to what he at least calls more normal levels recently, and he expects to see that trend continue at least for a while. However, he also says it's too soon to make any firm judgment on economic activity following the end of hostilities in Iraq and the, quote, current underlying strength of the real economy. President Bush's tax cut plan for stimulating the nation's economy has moved closer now to being implemented after House and Senate negotiators agreed on a final $382.8 billion proposal. Those cuts would be spread out over a 10-year period. House Ways and Means Committee Chairman Bill Thomas said the package is within Senate demands for a $350 billion cut and drops revenue-raising measures that had been in the Senate bill previously. The agreement now includes $20 billion in aid to states and $12 billion worth of child tax credit refunds.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen. We're having a hard time party training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture today is probing if the U.S. needs to take further steps to protect the nation's food industries from mad cow disease. The move follows Canada's announcement yesterday the country's first case of mad cow disease in a decade has now been confirmed. The U.S. is now banning Canadian meat imports. The World Health Organization is adopting an anti-smoking treaty backers say is aimed at helping millions of people around the world kick the habit. The document expresses serious concern about the increasing number of smokers globally, as well as the continuing increase in the production of cigarettes.
Daddy, can't we read a different book tonight?
Shh. We're just getting to the good part. To set the correct throttle position, loosen the pinch bolt to rotate the governor arm.
Have a passion for fixing things? Sears has over 4.5 million parts for all major brands of lawn equipment and home appliances. Call 1-800-4-MY-HOME. Click on Sears.com or come into a Sears Parts and Repair Center. Where can you find parts for all major brands, no matter where you bought them? Sears. Where else?
Environmentalists are applauding today. News out of Washington, D.C., EPA Director Christy Todd Whitman is stepping down. The Sierra Club's Jeff Tittle says the former New Jersey governor's exit is a blessing, calling the EPA a failure during her tenure.
They cut enforcement by over 50%, weaken clean air regulations to weaken clean water regulations, weaken the arsenic standard, and cut back on cleaning up toxic sites.
Tittle does at least give her the benefit of the doubt, saying Whitman was forced into a Bush environmental policy she likely didn't agree with. Whitman's resignation takes effect next month. Washington State's governor assigned a measure making it illegal now to rent or sell certain violent video games to youngsters. Under the new law, any store making available to minors games depicting violence against police would face $500 fines. The legislation now faces a legal challenge from a Washington, D.C.-based trade group. The Interactive Digital Software Association has already defeated an Indianapolis ordinance restricting arcade access to children. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Life in a fishbowl. No, not in an aquarium. The behaviors of these specimens were observed while they were driving their cars. When we come back, I'll tell you what you've been doing on the road.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
Stretch limos with tinted windows aside. What we do while driving is on display for everyone to see. And according to an Exxon poll of 1,000 drivers, our top three favorite activities are 1 in 5 of us flirt with other drivers. Another 40% actually reach out and touch someone with our cell phones. And the number one private activity that 70% of us perform for public view is the ever-popular eating. Now that gives dining and dashing a whole new meaning. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Daring to connect the dots. It's the Peter Werbe Show. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thank you very much. Welcome, everybody. I just discovered a new technological wrinkle to broadcasting. You got to turn the microphone on. And I'm wondering whether Jalene Jordan, who is with us in Miami, Florida, can you hear me? I think the answer to that is probably no. All right. Jalene, we will get with you in just a minute. Peter Werbe here broadcasting across the world through the IE America Radio Network. And you go to ieamericaradio.com. If you're not hearing it well, because not well, but sometimes we have so many people now, thousands and thousands of people, tens of thousands, I think, that are trying to listen online, you can go to, boy, I'm it's right out of my brain all of a sudden. When I get, you know, you get on the air and you want to do the, right, the crickets are there. Let's see. You know, you're saying, oh, yes, but, you know, you're going along like everything is very cool, but, you know, inside you're going, ah, what's going on? Radiopower.org. That's right, radiopower.org. You can just go to Liberal Talk Radio. And then we can, you know, you can hear it there as well. Satellite radio, Sirius Left, S-I-R-I-U-S, Sirius Left, channel 145. Some cable companies provide this broadcast as well. And, guys, when you talk to her, I also hear you. So that, I know you're trying your best. I was just chilling. Letting you know. All right. I wanted to talk with Jalene. Actually, I was going to tell her, we often, you know, amidst all the serious stuff, S-E-R-I-O-U-S. Is that how you spell it? Yeah, S-E-R-I-O-U-S. We also, and often, goof off, have a good time. But I was going to tell Jalene, and I'll tell the rest of you this as well. You can join me. You can take Jalene's place. I know that's impossible. My good right arm, actually my good left arm. You can call it 1-800-TALK-YES. And I wanted to talk, as I have in the past, but this got a little more real for me. And not the first incident I want to tell you about, but fascism at home. Essentially, that third of the population that you can always count on to back fascism. They call themselves conservatives, usually. Those are the hardcore conservatives. You go, wait a minute, come on, Pete. You know, we don't call you a communist or anything like that. Give us a break. We're just regular old conservatives. Well, if you look throughout history of the awful 20th century, the worst century in human history, by the way, in terms of suffering from war, disease, poverty, and what have you, bar none. And there's been some bad centuries. Fascists and the fascist ideology that came to power in the first third all across Europe and in many countries in other parts of the world, Japan, some in South America, the fascists were always aided by the conservatives. There's very little incidence of conservatives saying no to the Nazis, to the fascists, to the Falange, to the Peronists, to whatever they called themselves in a particular country. Where the fascist, sometimes it didn't end democracy, sometimes there was a royal rule or whatever, but even in the countries where there was democracy, democracy was shattered by the fascists, aided ably by the conservatives. There's not a case in which they said, gee, fascism's a bad thing. Sometimes they would hold their nose because there, it was a little more exclusive, fascism was, and it was pretty much seen and functioned as solely the philosophy of the wealthy of the country. I mean, it still is, but you need shock troops, and so there's shock troops here. There were shock troops in Germany and Italy and Japan, Hungary, Romania. Every one of those countries, the conservatives said yes to fascist rule. And we see some of that today. We get whiffs of it. It's not really necessary in many ways. So what you get is a lot of freelancing. And you get stuff like this. And what I'm going to tell you is not the thing that upset me the most. In my neighborhood, which is not a busy street, but it's not like a quiet little side street. So it's not a main thoroughfare, but it's got an amount of traffic on it. And for the last, what are we in? Maybe now, 6 months, myself and a number of my neighbors have had signs up saying no war. Some of them later have put up signs that say, peace, support our troops, bring them home. That's talking about Iraq, of course. Those ubiquitous no war signs, these white on blue signs that predominate particularly in Detroit, where I live and where I'm broadcasting from. And I'm surprised, I said that no one had taken them down. None of these people that have this great respect for private property had, as they've done with other signs I've had up and my neighbors as well, come onto my property and destroy my private property. Right? Because they really don't have much respect for private property at all, other than that of the rulers. They will defend to the death, literally, the property of the ultra-rich. This is their mission in life, to support a class that has nothing but contempt for them. But because they're such psychological chicken poopers, I guess I can say, that they dare never to attack their betters, those above them in the hierarchy. They save that for those below them. I was saying this the other day, who they hate the most are the rebels, the ones that say, we don't like the system of hierarchy at all. And since these personalities cannot deal with ambiguity or ambivalence, that lack of assuredness is something that upsets them the most, they consign to rebels the hottest room in hell. So last night, it's pretty clear from tire prints that someone drove up on the lawn of the man that lives across the street from me. Family man, wife and children, and, house painter, just a hard-working, working-class guy, and parked, you could see, drove up on the lawn, stomped down both of the two anti-war signs he had, one that said peace, the other one that said no war, and then put it in some low gear and ripped up the lawn. I mean, this is the people that support this country and its constitution. I mean, I'm not saying everybody that supports this country and its constitution does that, but this is the rationale. This is why he did it. He saw a sign that said peace, and that sign was so hateful to him that he would actually drive his car or truck, probably a truck, onto someone else's lawn, attempt to destroy their right to self-expression, and then do actual property damage to it. This is patriots. These are the great patriots of our country. These are the fascists. These are the ones that don't even consider themselves. They say, I'm a proud American. And they say, well, are you conservative? No, I'm a proud American. And they might even say they're conservative. But most of all, they're a proud American as they rip up somebody else's lawn. There hasn't been the kind of physical assaults on peace demonstrators to at least the magnitude that there has in the past, thankfully. Although I'm just reading this from the Wausau, I think it's Wisconsin, Daily Herald, about police arresting a man on Saturday at a rally to support military members and their families after this guy struck a protester from, Mosini, who was there to speak out against the war in Iraq. The man who the police did not identify, of course, they don't want to have him, you know, they don't want to smear him or anything like that, struck this other guy, Mike Walschlager, punched him and kicked him in the head before police intervened. Because he had a sign. Let's see what, here's the sign. People have the right to protest. Huh. Yeah, well, that's worth an attack, isn't it? Yeah. That's the kind of mobs. But what's really disturbing me is what's happened to the New York Times reporter and author, Chris Hedges. He was booed off the stage Saturday at Rockford College's graduation because he gave an anti-war speech. And this is from the Rockford Register Star. And 2 days later, graduates and family members envisioning a, quote, go out and make your mark, good luck with jobs not being there, send-off are still reeling. And what happened was that college president Paul Pripenow says he's rethinking the wisdom of controversial topics at future commencements. And Hedges began his abbreviated 18-minute speech comparing the United States policy in Iraq to piranhas and a tyranny over the week. And they unplugged his microphone after 3 minutes. Voices of protest and the sound of foghorns grew. And essentially what happened, without going into all the details of this, or back here, and then his microphone was put back in, he said, war in the end is always about betrayal, according to Chris Hedges. Betrayal of the young by the old, of soldiers by politicians, and idealists by cynics. And he said in a lecture fashion, as jeers and God bless Americas could be heard in the background. So it's all right. You know, I mean, although I'll tell you, anytime I've been at a speech where they've had prominent people and they are making pro-war, pro-government speeches, and they do that, and you try to boo, they yank your butt right out of there. Chris Hedges had his microphone again unplugged, and Pripenow, the college president, told Hedges, wrap it up, like that. So the mob rules here. Rather than despising him, and for instance, at the end, booing grandly, saying, we don't like what you're saying and demonstrating that, this man is almost run off of the stage. And that's not, even that's not what bothered me, although I saw that. I saw that, in fact, you can go to commondreams.org and read it. But rather, what really disturbed me, and this is what I get. I mean, I always tell you, turn off the television, don't listen to these right-wing wacko talk show hosts. Here's my defense. My radio in the car was on WJR, the Detroit station that carries Rush Limbaugh. And as soon as I turned on the radio, that's what was being discussed. Chris Hedges, the New York Times reporter, being booed off the stage. And this guy, just as I turned it on, this guy from Rockford was saying, well, he's lucky he got out of there. And Rush went, and I thought, this is really frightening. This is lynch mob. This is death squad. This is what the right wing is known for. Violent suppression of ideas they don't like. Stifling dissent by force. They are anti-democratic personalities with a small d. They are authoritarian personalities. And not too far beneath the surface is fascism. Fascist personalities as well. And it comes out like that. You ever been beaten up by the cops? I have. And they always have this laugh. Why do they laugh before they beat you up? And I've talked to men and women that have been tortured, and they talk about the torturers laughing. In fact, you almost think, oh, maybe they're in a good mood. They're not going to do anything to me. But they laugh. Laughter, think about what its real function is and what purpose it serves here. Well, here's a little thing about Chris Hedges' book. He's a Pulitzer Prize-winning New York Times journalist, and whoever wrote this little review at Amazon says, we see through a glass darkly into war as necrophilia, sex with the dead, war that in the beginning looks like love. Hedges, who has a master's of divinity from Harvard, speaks with brutal honesty of his own addiction to the adrenaline rush of war as he witnessed it as a reporter in El Salvador, the Middle East, and the Balkans. And he's been attacked a number of times and what have you. He writes about Thanatos, the death instinct in the human psyche in constant struggle with Eros, the impulse to love. He exposes what he calls, quote, the godlike exhilaration of destroying that emotionally maimed veterans reflect on later as, quote, nothing gallant or heroic, nothing redeeming. The godlike exhilaration of destroying, that's the other aspect of fascist personalities. For all their professed love of law and order, And that's one of the reasons they profess this love of order, is they want to be constrained as well, because inside them is this hatred, this urge for violence, this punitive spirit to destroy everything, to hurt everyone. And they desperately want it constrained, except when it's released officially by attacking those that they're given social permission to do. All right, I told you it was going to be a little ominous. Please join me. Fight fascism. You know, look for it in ourselves. That's what Wilhelm Reich said, who wrote about fascism. But let's watch our backs as well. Peter Werbe, 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hey, what are you doing to get in shape for the summer?
Lots of sit-ups, man.
Spinning, baby.
Cutting down on the donuts.
Whatever you're doing to get in shape for the summer, make sure you get your Toyota in shape for summer driving. Bring it into your Toyota dealer before you hit the road. You'll get the very best service performed by Toyota-trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts.
I am walking to work. Of course, I work out of my house.
Make an appointment with your Toyota dealer today and log on to toyota.com/owners for valuable service special coupons.
Attention all plaintiffs. Personal injury, negligence, premises liability, medical malpractice, product liability, commercial cases. Receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Call now, 800-586-5493. Get cash now on your pending lawsuit. No risk, no payments. We only collect when your case is settled. Call 800-586-5493. Express Lawsuit Funding can help you. 800-586-5493.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Peter Werbe reminding you that my show is now being broadcast from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network. It's the same show filled with engaged, intelligent talk featuring not just you, the listener, but also a wide range of interesting guests. So if you want to leave right-wing hate radio in the 20th century where it belongs, join me, Peter Werbe, weekdays 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time for something entirely different.
Are you worried that the road less traveled is a dead end? I feel your pain. It's not easy to be positive and happy and peaceful in a world that's so often negative and filled with war and hatred and SARS, but we can do it together. Join me, Nancy Skinner, for a radio evolution. It's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Populi, that's Voice of the People. It's a program where people talk about the world around us and the one we want to create.
That's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Pop, weekdays from 10 to noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Show. It's Peter Werbe. Call now at 1-800-TALK-YES. 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. And Jalene Jordan is with us. Now we got all the little technological glitches out of the way. Hi, Jalene.
Hi. You know, it's one of those things where something got jiggled out of the back of my soundboard. And you know how technical you and I are,
sure.
Peter. I'm sitting there.
Well, thanks to our team.
That little button in the back, is that supposed to be? Yeah, thank you, Bill, and thank you, John, and thank you, everyone else.
Yes. Listen, I was just going on about fascist personalities among us in some very specific incidents, but we have a number of callers, and I know we have Dr. Quentin Young at the bottom of the hour, so let's go right to our calls. Here's Ken in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Ken, it's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
I'm embarrassed to admit that I actually called in Rush Limbaugh's show for the first time today.
Ken, can you talk up a bit?
Yeah.
There you
go. You're not the only one who's called and told us that. There's been a few others.
No, I'm embarrassed to admit even listening, but on the know thy enemy theory, I guess it's essential listening from time to time. He made a point that just among many that bothered me, which was that the moderate nominees for the moderate judicial nominees that the current administration has made.
Moderate. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. That were carryover from the Clinton administration. He said was a sign of good faith and a peace offering to liberals and Democrats and all that nonsense. And I maintained that it was basically a Trojan horse, if at all, in view of the Estrada and the Owens nomination and the many more like them, as are so many other peace offerings that they try and make.
Yeah, the far right wing staffing and stacking of our judicial system that'll be with us for a generation if the Democrats let this go through. Fortunately, they're carrying out these filibusters that are not letting these right wing creatures into the judicial system. Yeah.
We'll talk about fascists. As soon as I mentioned the word regime in conjunction with Bush and maintain Clinton administration, there was no more discussion. It was a monologue, it was a tirade, and he hung up on me.
Sure. You know what? I'm going to have to do that as well, Ken, except I'll give you a chance to say goodbye because I got to get a couple more calls in before our break.
Just wanted to throw it in. Thanks.
Thank you. No, it's very important. I don't mean that cutting you short means I didn't think it was important. Thank you so much for calling 1-800-TALK-YES. Let's go to Ken in Spencer, Massachusetts. Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Hi.
Sounds like your discussion from the beginning of the top of the hour there, that you may have been watching Hitler last night. A lot of his tactics were very similar to what you're talking about.
You know, I didn't watch it, but that's very interesting. Hitler, the miniseries. You know, they fired a producer that during the run-up to the needless and illegal war against Iraq, they fired a CBS producer who said the same social conditions exist in the United States that existed prior to Hitler. And this guy that's working on this miniseries, they fired him from CBS.
Wow. Hey, you know, this has been going on for a long time. I spent a lot of time in Nashville, Tennessee. We had a talk show host by the name of Ruth Ann Leach. Ruth Ann Leach was a moderate, but she was kind of bounced between Rush Limbaugh and a couple other people. And she gave it up. They scratched her car. They tore her off the top. She got all kinds of death threats. And, of course, whenever you discuss this with them, well, that happens to us, too.
Wow. But, friends of mine are politically active in Nashville. In fact, I'm going to Nashville next week, so they can scratch my rent-a-car all they want.
See, now I could be home and I could watch. I could be watching you, but now I'm on the road touring. Oh, well.
Thank you, Ken.
Have a fun day.
Appreciate it. And here's Mike from Washington, D.C. Mike, hi. It's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan.
Hey, Peter. Jalene, how are you doing?
Hi.
Hey, good.
Just a couple of quick points. First, part of the problem with the fascist turn in the U.S., which I definitely think is here, is the fact that for the last at least 40 years,
mm-hmm.
the system has been dumbing down the people. I mean,
sure.
Literally. And we've been forced away from the idea of cerebration to the idea of emotion.
Sure. Instead of information. Yeah, I was going to say, instead of information, people accept messages. You know, this is a bad time, Mike. We're going to have to get the rest of this another time because you can hear our music in the background. We got a guest coming up, and we've got Jim Hightower as well. So my apologies for cutting you so short. We'll do it another time. Thank you. That's the schedule coming up. Peter Werby, Jalene Jordan, 1-800-TALK-YES. Jim Hightower, America's favorite populist on The Peter Werby Show. And then Dr. Quentin Young. Man, we got so many health issues to talk about. Whoa.
Life is full of decisions. For example, taking batting practice in front of a picture window.
Come on, show me the heat!
Now that's a bad decision. Fortunately, buying a GM-certified used vehicle that's fully reconditioned and backed by GM is always a good decision. GM-certified used vehicles. The right way, the right car.
Now qualified buyers get 3.9% APR financing on select GM-certified used vehicles from participating Chevrolet, Pontiac, Oldsmobile, Buick, and GMC dealers. Length of contract limited. Take delivery by June 30th, 2003. See dealer for details or call 1-888-999-7880.
You're listening to The Peter Werby Show, 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Laura Miller.
More labor strife in France as nearly a half million workers, including teachers, bank employees, staff at the Postal Service, and workers at state-run France Telecom, went on strike again yesterday over government plans to reform the national pension system. Last week, a larger, more broad-based strike all but shut the country down, but since then, many of France's unions have come to terms with a slightly revised plan. Others have not, and they say they'll keep the pressure on as a run-up to a mass demonstration in Paris planned for Sunday.
Tropicana, the way Las Vegas was meant to be.
It's one of the oldest casinos on the Strip in Las Vegas, but union workers at the Tropicana Hotel are betting their employer won't be around much longer. The Tropicana is no longer booking conventions beyond May of 2004, leading many workers to speculate that hotel managers are preparing to demolish the casino to make way for a new development. As a result, Tropicana employees want a guarantee that they'll be the first to be hired if a new resort is built on the old site. And until they win such an agreement, they warn that picket lines and work stoppages may be imminent. The Tropicana's 1,200 union employees were the only such workers in Las Vegas left without a contract last year when the city's powerful culinary union won a new contract from every other resort and casino.
Government workers in South Korea are lobbying hard for the right to form a union, and the government seems keen to the idea with one catch. Government employees will be prohibited from going on strike. But the workers, many of whom think forming a union without the right to strike leaves them powerless, may walk off the job before they get permission to. The union-to-be, which already has more than 100,000 members, says it began a strike ballot this week and the results should be known before the end of the month.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
Well, now I'll tell you a story about a talk show host who's riding the airwaves from coast to coast. Raking in the money like a royal flush, always in a hurry, that's why they call him Rush. You gotta make it to the mic, make it to the phone. He's best a personality from flesh to bone. He got an answer for anything you might want to know. And if he doesn't, well, hey, it's his radio show, Rush Limbaugh. The $1 billion jaw, Rush Limbaugh.
The Peter Werby Show, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much. Boy, I'm trying to conjure up who that is. I'll remember it in a second, though. It's from Seattle. All right, we're going to have a guest in just a minute or so. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll try to get you as well. Right now, it's time for Jim Hightower, America's favorite populist on The Peter Werby Show.
It's always reassuring to learn that top White House officials are operating today in the time-honored tradition of so many Washington public servants. They are resigning to become high-paid corporate lobbyists, cashing in on their government connections. Take our brand-new Homeland Security Department. Please, take it far away and bury the whole bureaucratic, autocratic monstrosity in a landfill where it will eternally burp gas but otherwise won't bother us. Unfortunately, there it is, alive in Washington and gorging on some $40 billion of our tax dollars each year. The Homeland Czar is former Pennsylvania Governor Tom Ridge. Working out of the White House, Ridge had four top deputies to help him create the Homeland Security Department. Did his inner circle move with him into the new agency? No, no, Pollyanna. All four are now lobbyists, helping corporate clients grab a chunk of the billions of dollars that HSD is now doling out in fat government contracts. When asked by a reporter about the obvious conflict of interest involved here, one of Ridge's former aides said, "This conversation is over," and hung up. Another was more forthcoming, noting that not only did she have great access to Ridge and other top HSD decision makers, but also that, quote, "all of us are very close friends with the governor and see him on many different occasions, not just professionally." Gosh, what a cozy world Washington is. Homeland Security is a bloated bureaucracy that won't make you and me one bit more secure, but it will secure billions in federal boondoggles for connected corporations. It's been dubbed a huge honeypot for lobbyists, and one enthusiastic lobbyist representing such fat cat military contractors as Lockheed Martin and Raytheon bragged, "We're trying to help our clients avoid the landmines and find the gold mines in Homeland Security. I'm very bullish on this." This is Jim Hightower saying, there you have it, your security dollars at work. Feel safer?
Not me. We're going to talk about that a little later, and that kind of ties into this whole idea of fascism that we're talking about. We're looking for our guests. In the meantime, let's go out to Los Angeles and talk to Luther. Luther, hi, it's Peter Werbe at 1-800-TALK-YES. You're on the air.
Hey there. It's nice to be on.
Thank you.
I'm a recent listener, and I'm going to keep listening because I really enjoy this program. I spend a lot of my time listening to AM talk radio, which is all right wing,
sure,
here in Louisiana, and I'd like to say that Louisiana is the state that put Democratic Senator Mary Landrieu back in there, kind of took a little bit of the sails out of Bush's what was it, 2002 election.
That's right. And I said you were from Los Angeles. I saw L.A. I realize now it's Louisiana.
Well, I'd like for your listeners to know there's a lot of us in the South that despise Bush.
Oh, I know that.
But anyways, you were talking about that sort of mentality that laughs at cruelty toward other people. I have a really good friend, and that's the reason I'm calling in. And I have a really good friend who was in the Navy. He's gay. He went to a gay club in Hawaii, and after leaving that club, there were several individuals that had gotten into the club. And after he was leaving, he was walking back to wherever he had to go, and his story was on the Montel Williams
wow.
program. But anyways, he was walking back to where he had to get to, and these individuals followed him out, and they beat him up badly, and well, you know, basically they took a beer bottle and sodomized him.
Yeah, and think about the psychoanalytic implications of that. Here are these homophobic, violent-oriented men that they hate your friend because he's gay, and then they do this to him. I mean, it doesn't take a psychologist to see what is ultimately motivating these people, yes. Does it?
The thing is that struck me, and the reason I'm calling in, is it wasn't so much the being sodomized, but the beer bottle, he said that they laughed.
Yeah, yeah.
They laughed when they did it.
What's up with that?
Well, they held him down.
Who are these people among us that are capable of doing this. You know, very frequently you think of them as these monsters, and they commit monstrous acts. But you know, there was a book about Eichmann. I think it was called Eichmann in Jerusalem by Hannah Arendt, and it's a famous book. And the subtitle was The Banality of Evil. In other words, that evil did not have this special quality to it. But once you put people into a steam bath together, or a or the grave, they're just another human being. And I always people try to tell me, oh, this guy was was a good person and stuff like that. And I always say, you know, Eichmann was a family man. And he was. He had a family, he had kids. You know, he was the architect of the extermination of the Jews.
Well, you know, Tennessee Williams maybe described it best when he said, you put people in a prison and give them that sort of prison mentality, you know, they turn on each other.
Yeah.
And in some ways, in a broader sense, I think the society is that way in some respect. But I really enjoy the show. I'm going to continue listening to it.
Thank you, Luther.
Thanks for taking my call. Thanks.
Appreciate it. Yeah, that's what we're here for. 1-800-TALK-YES, and we're looking for our guest, Quentin Young. We can talk about a lot of the medical things that are happening around our world. Some of them are pretty awful. Let's go back a little to the Chris Hedges speech that was attacked by the audience, essentially the microphone unplugged. Chris Hedges, a Pulitzer Prize-winning New York Times journalist, apparently a Masters of Divinity from Harvard, as well. And he has this wonderful book called War is a Force That Gives Us Meaning. That's the name of it. War is a Force That Gives Us Meaning. And he talks about that those two competing, and this is very Freudian. Freud talked about this. Essentially, this contest in the world between love and death. Not because maybe those don't sound like opposites, love and death. And actually, I think maybe I can read this better. Hedges shows us in graphic detail how he almost lost his soul. And this was when he was a war correspondent. He loved to go to these places, El Salvador, the Middle East, the Balkans. And he got attacked a number of times. I don't have this right in front of me, but I remember from reading other things about him. But he says he was redeemed by love in partnership that recognizes both the fragility and the sanctity of the individual. That means every single one of us. Every single one of us. And he warns us that this flirtation with weapons of mass destruction is a flirtation with our own obliteration, the embrace of Thanatos, the embrace of Thanatos. And these are the rulers. They have embraced Thanatos. They are instruments of death. And when you talk to them about the thousands of civilians that have died, they look at you coldly and they say, as Darth Rumsfeld, the Minister for War, has said, that's regrettable. And you know he doesn't mean it. Or when you ask General Colin Powell, how many Iraqi civilians died during the first Gulf War? He said, that's not a figure I'm interested in. These are the men of Thanatos. These are the anti-life forces among us. These are the forces of authoritarianism and fascism. They have often grand pronouncements of what motivates them, democracy, the Constitution, religion, whatever. But they are instruments of death. They are instruments of destruction. And that's what turns them on. That's what makes them want to be who they are. And it's a fear of life. I mean, that's why they attack homosexuals, because, you know, I mean, maybe that'll take us way in another direction. But, you know, I was thinking, too. We always talk about this war and heroism. Here's George Bush, another instrument of Thanatos. He says that he wants to burnish his administration's image abroad by highlighting global U.S. generosity as he prepares to attend a major meeting of world leaders next month. Delivering the commencement address at the U.S. Coast Guard Academy on Wednesday, Bush was to tout, quote, the great role America's compassion abroad plays in averting wars and in solving problems. I mean, does this guy think we don't read the papers or watch television? That we're on some other planet? This agent of Thanatos, of death, this instrument of death and destruction, George W. Bush says that he's going to tout, quote, the great role America's compassion abroad plays in averting wars and solving problems. If you're ringing now, by the way, at 1-800-TALK-YES, a little patience, please. We're trying to get our guest on the line, and I think we're going to have some problems. Maybe we'll reschedule him. John, if you can pick up that line. I know you're really getting pressed pretty hard there. This is beyond my comprehension. All right, we do have our guest. That's good, because we have had him as a guest on the Peter Warby Show many times before. He's Dr. Quentin Young, practicing internist in Hyde Park, and also the president of the American Public Health Association. When? In 1998?
Years ago, right.
Yes, hi. Welcome to the show. Gee, we have so little time left, and yeah. I have about a quarter of an inch of medical questions.
All right, we'll try and deal with whatever you throw at us, Peter. It's very nice to be on your show.
Maybe we can take some of the what's shaking our cages the most, maybe not the most important things either, but SARS and
okay.
and the kind of way that, you know, it's like terrorism. It's just something that shakes us to the core when we think about it.
Well, I think SARS is a terribly important new event, and it's teaching us what we sort of knew, that nature is very imaginative and can create new diseases we never saw before. The most dramatic in our lifetime, I would argue, is AIDS, an acquired immune deficiency disease, which has affected millions of people across the world. And while the hit is variable, America got hit very hard. Africa is dreadfully hurt. And this is a lethal disease which happily we're developing treatments for, but they're chronic, and it's just a powerful new reality. We had mad cow disease affecting horses, cows, and then they can be transferred to humans, dreadful disease. And now we have SARS, severe acute respiratory syndrome. That's not an imaginative name, but SARS is pretty good. Came out of Asia, and it's not over yet. And it's disrupted travel. It's not nearly at the proportion of AIDS. Let's be clear on that. And so far, we've been spared, although our neighbor to the north, as you know, Canada, particularly Toronto, was hit hard.
Mm-hmm. Very close to where I'm broadcasting from.
Yeah, we can diagnose it. We have no treatment yet, and it's a tough disease. It's lethal to many of the victims, particularly the older ones. Guys and gals over 60 who get it have a really serious death rate. And the biggest initial defense is isolation. As soon as you get a case, you want to get that patient in the hospital situation where the health workers who have been hit hard, particularly in China.
They've been abandoning the, apparently, hospitals in Taiwan.
Yeah. No, this is a bad one. And those people who believe in supernatural would argue that nature is telling us something. Whether it is or not, it's a real challenge to our public health system. And, Peter, you pointed out I had a year as president of the American Public Health Association, which was, of course, a source of great honor and pride. And it's the public health methodology, which is the detection of diseases in the community and developing strategies to protect against them, that is our major bulwark. People think of the health system, people like me, doctors who see patients, diagnose one by one, treat, hopefully successfully. That's very important. We all want it when we're sick, but that's not to be confused with what the real protection is. We've doubled life expectancy, Peter, in the last century and a half, from 40 to 80. That's unprecedented.
Mm-hmm.
Over 90% of that improvement in life expectancy is due to public health. By that I mean purified water, separation of the fecal waste from the drinking water, immunization, nutrition, childbirth, all that's public health. And yet, as a nation, we undernourished the public health, and it came to our attention when this terrorist threat arose recently. It's been there all the time, but it hit the headlines with anthrax and all the rest, bioterrorism. That requires public health measures, and we have to very rapidly upgrade our support for public health. I don't see it happening yet. I hear a lot of talk, and we have green and orange and all kinds of colors. But the real growth of the strength of our public health system has to be achieved. You had some other issues, I gather.
Well, unfortunately, we have about 90 seconds because we got to you so late.
I apologize.
No, it's not your fault at all. But real quickly, the United Nations says it's going to begin the effort to mend health services in Iraq with millions of dollars of U.S. money, including a universal health care system there. If you could tell me in about 60 seconds how that hits you because of your efforts for universal health care here.
Well, the first thing that hits me is that these geniuses who are getting us into preemptive wars have taught us what we already knew, that 300,000 well-equipped American soldiers can take out any third world nation. But the little details that followed that you're talking about are the ones we're not prepared for. And that biblical expression, you sow the wind and reap the whirlwind, I think it's beginning to happen. Iraq's health system was really damaged. It had previously been very high for that part of the world, despite the tyranny of the leader. They had a very advanced culture with a lot of educated people. A lot of doctors in America are of Iraqi origin. I've worked with them. They're wonderful. Mm-hmm. But they got hit after the Gulf War with the sanctions, and infant mortality, nutrition, basic health things went down badly. So they didn't start from a level playing field. Then we threw a few bombs at them and disrupted the civil society, and now it's really bad. We're told, as you said, that hospitals can't function, don't function, clean water's an issue, drugs, all that stuff. So we're there, and we did it, so we have a huge responsibility, I would argue, as just social responsibility to restore those elements, because the people who are being hurt were not, Saddam and his crew. It's everyday people.
Right. Dr. Young, we're out of time.
I appreciate it.
And I thank you so much for having joined us.
I enjoy it every time you have me on.
We'll do it longer next time.
My deal.
All right. Thank you so much. Thanks for joining me, Dr. Quentin Young, and he's a practicing internist, and he wants universal health care in the United States. That's what we all deserve, not 62 million people without it. I'm Peter Werbe. I'll be right back with Jalene Jordan, 1-800-TALK-YES.
Get to the Goodyear Hardworking Tire Sale and save big on selected Goodyear brand tires. And for limited time, get up to a $50 gift card for the Home Depot with the purchase of 4 selected Goodyear tires. So stop in today for the Goodyear Hardworking Tire Sale and get up to a $50 gift card for the Home Depot. But hurry, these offers end June 7th. Call 1-800-GOODYEAR for complete details and the retailer nearest you. Or visit a participating location where quality Goodyear tires are sold. Goodyear is not affiliated with the Home Depot.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
It's all.
Yo, this is Ed Lover.
This is Dr. Dre.
That's right, we in the mix for Twix, baby. Here's the mix.
Ed, I'm gonna tell you right now, all from state to state, it's all about the mix.
You understand? That's how it's going down. Ed Lover is Dr. Dre style. Rolling through the streets, just doing my thing. I need the Twix to keep me in the mix, in the swing. When I wanna stay real good in the mix,
come on, y'all.
Bring the Twix.
Announcing the Take Back America Conference, a progressive policy and action summit, June 4th, 5th, and 6th in Washington, D.C. On June 4th, 5th, and 6th, over 1,000 progressive leaders and activists from across the country will gather in the nation's capital to mobilize Take Back America and proclaim a new era of progressivism. This will be the largest and most diverse gathering of prominent progressive leaders in many years, and its impact will be dramatic. This is an unprecedented effort at a critical time in our nation's history. It is essential that the progressive majority develop a strategy that will confront the real issues America is facing with initiatives that can and will make a difference. For details and to register, visit www.ourfuture.org or call 800-833-1354. That's 800-833-1354.
Mr. Rogers' parenting book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day. On the IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
President got on TV, there was nary a dry eye. He said he loved his country and mom and apple pie. He said he was a proud man and he liked his home fries grill. But as for countries harboring terrorists, those people should be killed. He said we'd send our bombers to deal with rogue states, and all those evil people would have to meet their fate. So it was with some trepidation that I looked up to the skies, 'cause I was driving past Fort Benning when I came to realize that I guess we're gonna have to bomb Columbus, Georgia, home of the infamous SOA. 'Cause they train the death squads of Columbia, who commit a massacre every day.
The Peter Werby Show, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much. The music of David Rovics, R-O-V-I-C-S. You can go to davidrovics.com and download almost all of his songs, including that one about the infamous School of the Americas, where I've been down to protest. And this is a school of torture at Fort Benning, Georgia. And go back to just, hi, Jalene Jordan.
Hello, Peter Werby.
I am on a rush, on a rant.
No, you're not on a... You're on a roll.
Not a roll, not on a rush. You're right. But here's something that rhymes with rush. Bush. He wants to burnish the administration's image abroad by highlighting global U.S. generosity. Can you believe this? Here's what he said.
What?
He wants to tout the great role America's compassion abroad plays in averting wars and in solving problems.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right.
Yeah. And I was saying, I don't know if you heard all of this, talking about Chris Hedges' book, War is a Force That Gives Us Meaning, and he's certainly opposed to that. And he talks about the forces of Thanatos, death, essentially. And in this review that I've been reading, he says, with humility and grace, he reminds us that love alone can save us. And if you scoff at that, dear listener, you're our problem. You are our problem. Yeah. Here's Terry in Louisiana. Terry, it's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome.
Peter, how are you?
Good.
I'm sure I haven't been listening all day today, but I'm sure someone at some time or other discussed Warren Buffett's article that appeared in the Washington Post the other day about the voodoo economics and the tax break for dividend.
But tell me quickly, this is such a short segment, so give me the headlines.
Well, it's Voodoo Economics by Warren Buffett, dated Tuesday, May 20th, 2003, page A19 in the Washington Post, where he just exposes this this incredible giveaway for what it is, and pointing out that if indeed that should be passed by the House and signed by the President, his income tax would be approximately 10% of his receptionist. It would be 30%. His effective income tax rate would be 3% on $310 million in income from the tax dividend break.
Absolutely amazing. Terry, got to go. End of the segment. Thank you for joining us. Please call again. I appreciate it. The number is 1-800-TALK-YES. Peter Werby, Jalene Jordan. We'll be back. We're going to talk about the Middle East. We're going to continue to talk about the fascists among us as well. They're everywhere. unfortunately, but there's more of us. Love can prevail.
You've been listening to The Peter Werby Show on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
The Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, The Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progress about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Marna Wogan. In a just-aired audio recording, Osama bin Laden's top lieutenant has called for more attacks against U.S., British, and Jewish interests. The recording, supposedly from Aman al-Zahir, aired on the Arab TV network Al Jazeera in Qatar. The tape also told Iraqis they are not alone in fighting U.S. occupation in the country. In a pointed reference to the World Trade Center in New York City, al-Zahir said the Crusaders and the Jews only understand the language of the murder, bloodshed, and of the burning towers. NATO has agreed to help Poland run a stabilization zone in Iraq. NATO Secretary General George Robertson says it had a request from Poland in accordance with the policy of NATO, asking what support can be given by NATO to help.
The first stage is to ask the military authorities to provide a list of what support can be given with all of the implications, and also to ask Supreme Headquarters Allied Powers Europe to liaise with the Polish authorities on that in discovering what it is they want.
Robertson stresses that they are not talking about a NATO presence in Iraq. Robertson said, "We are talking purely and simply about NATO help to Poland, which is intended to be in Iraq and intending to fulfill a role in the stabilization force. Poland will lead a 7,000-strong multinational force in a section of Iraq between Baghdad and Basra." Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan says sufficiently low inflation rates plus the quick conclusion to major fighting in Iraq has helped deflate anxiety over the economy's health.
Start of the war and its early successes, especially the safeguarding of the Iraqi oil fields, were greeted positively by financial and commodities markets. Stock prices rallied, risk spreads narrowed, oil prices dropped sharply.
He made his comments while testifying on Capitol Hill before a Congressional Joint Economic Committee. Greenspan notes that the price of gas has fallen to what he calls more normal levels recently, and he expects to see the trend continue at least for a while. We'll have more in a moment.
Smokers, now you can break the nicotine habit safely, effectively, and naturally within 7 days, guaranteed. And now you can quit smoking for good without craving, side effects, irritability, or weight gain with an amazing new product called Smoke Free. Smoke Free consists of three herbal supplements that work together to completely and naturally eliminate your body's cravings for nicotine. Smoke Free replenishes vital nutrients as it counteracts the effects of nicotine without the use of dangerous drugs or patches. Your mood, nervousness, and sleep will improve as your dependence on nicotine is eliminated. In fact, the ingredients in Smoke Free is so effective, it's listed as an all-natural homeopathic medicine, and surveys boast an amazing 92% success rate. So if you've ever thought about or tried to quit smoking in the past, now you can be smoke-free in 7 days, guaranteed. Call now to try Smoke Free completely risk-free. It's safe, effective, and guaranteed to work. You have nothing to lose but your life. So call toll-free, 1-800-485-0648. That's 1-800-485-0648.
Jury deliberations are expected to start today in the Detroit trial of four men arrested in 2001, less than a week after the September 11th attacks. Prosecutors contend the four belonged to a sleeper cell that was planning attacks in the U.S., Jordan, and Turkey. The defense argues the men are innocent and are victims of a random roundup of Arabs. Published reports say much of the trial has concentrated on the testimony of a government witness. But the defense attacked the witness's credibility, saying he is a confessed credit card thief. Closing arguments wrapped up yesterday. We'll have more in a moment.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
The U.S. has banned Canadian meat imports after a case of mad cow disease was found in an Alberta cow. Similar importation bans were also set by Japan and South Korea, the third and fourth largest markets for Canada's beef exports. Canada's agriculture minister says there is not a mad cow epidemic in Alberta and stresses it's an isolated case of one cow. Mad cow disease has never been detected in U.S. cattle. The agriculture department says the threat of transmitting the disease to animals in the U.S. is very low and it has no plans for further measures. About half of married couple households with a person aged 65 and older had annual incomes of $35,000 or more in 2001. The new information is part of a report released by the Census Bureau titled The Older Population in the United States, March 2002. Census Bureau Director Lewis Kincannon said the new data represented the perfect opportunity for the Census Bureau to focus on an increasingly important age group in the nation's demographic panorama. I'm Marna Woken. This is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. They say history repeats itself. World War I, World War II, Rocky I, II, III, IV, and V. But when we come back, I'll share with you some automotive history about a certain bug's life.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas. 10 years ago, I discovered a company with the best fuel injector cleaner, BG Products. Now wait, there's more. To do the job right requires cleaning both the fuel and the air induction systems. The process is called BG Complete Induction System Service. If you want your vehicle to run like new, don't settle for anything less. To find a shop near you to perform this service, go to bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com.
A Bug's Life could be the autobiography of the VW Beetle, which made history twice. It was originally named KDF Wagon, aptly meaning strength through joy. This odd-shaped little car, brainchild of Dr. Ferdinand Porsche, was designed with the backing of Adolf Hitler, who announced its birth at a Berlin exhibition in 1938. Out of production for almost 20 years, the VW was reborn in 1998. Its popularity with baby boomers and Gen Xers ensures life long into the 21st century. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us!
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome to the Peter Werby Show, where we dare to connect the dots. Call now at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thank you very much. Welcome back, or welcome to the broadcast. Welcome to you, Jalene Jordan. We've got you back, I hope.
We do.
We do. Okay, that's wonderful. And sometimes I talk about how connecting the dots is so easy, and somehow this is one of those periods where it seems extraordinarily difficult. There are so many things happening, and it's difficult to sort out the fact from fiction, the manipulation from reality and what have you. That's why conservatives are so lucky. They just believe everything they're told. You know?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So if the guy in the White House says this or any of his pals, they just accept it at face value.
They say, well, then so be it.
Yeah. If it's on CNN. Oh, no. I mean, even if they'll say, well, I watch CNN, too, to get the other side of the view, other point of view. Or they'll watch Foxhole News and they'll say, ma'am, that's it. Case closed.
Confirmed.
End of story. But people like us that realize that the world is filled with dis and misinformation from every aspect of it, and there is mis and disinformation from the grassroots as well as from the elite and the politicians and the rulers, that it's difficult then. It takes some a sense of deliberation, some brain power. So it's a lot easier to just turn yourself over to the elites. Rush, what do I think? Oh, okay. Geez, that doesn't sound like it'd even possibly be true. But the idea that I'd have to actually think for myself and sort out all this mess. Oh, yeah, dittos. And your heart goes aflutter when you see the man illegally sitting in the, or standing now, always in the office of the presidency. And when he gives these patriotic speeches, your, you know, just your breast, what is that? What is that called? Your breast. I'm having difficulty saying it. Your breast swells, right? And, you know, with pride, you know, I'm proud to be an American because I just heard George W. Bush say whatever. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
To the flag of the United States of America.
What is that going to be? I don't know whether John Lucas at the controls is a curse or a blessing.
No,
we know, John,
funny.
It's a blessing.
That was funny.
You can join us at 1-800-TALK. Yes. Well, here's what's going on. An alleged, I like this, Al-Qaeda tape urges more attacks. So is that real? Now, I just walked by the Conservative News Network monitor, and they're saying they're going to explore this hour, whether it's real or not. And they're urging Muslims everywhere to imitate the September 11th attacks in strikes on the United States and its allies. So the last time I talked to the conservative nitwits that I know, they told me we were safer.
Oh, right.
That's, you know, true. Like the guy that works nights at WRIF in Detroit.
Oh, he said that he felt safer, or
yeah,
that we are definitely safer?
Definitely safer. We liberated Iraq, and we are now safer from terrorism.
Oh, this guy.
I said, you know, you sound like a parrot.
Peter, you should just quit talking to him.
Oh, it's kind of weird. Like, remember, was it on this broadcast or was it on that Detroit station? I said, I just could not deal. You know, it was both, actually. I said, I could not deal with having a conservative friend. I am friendly with conservatives.
Yeah.
You know, and I work sometimes with them.
Yeah. Peter, remember when a few years ago when we started the show, I was hanging out with this girl. And
oh, yeah.
And we were friends, and I mean, we really did get along. She was from, you know, the sticks, and I was from Iowa, so we had that in common. And she basically told me that it wasn't true that the California energy crisis was a...
Hi, this is Peter Werby. We are currently experiencing some technical difficulties, so until we clear up the problem... Yeah, and...
That's terrible, but I did.
Now, at the end of one show, people want to resurrect this. I'm curious. And you can call 1-800-TALK-YES or email us at calltalkyes@yahoo.com. People that actually have partners, conservative partners...
Right.
Yeah. Remember we talked a little about this because we were talking about Mary Madeline and
James Carville.
Yeah. And, you know, these kind of media types. And I just said, I couldn't deal with having a I couldn't even fall in love with a conservative woman.
Well, we know definitely you couldn't. And I know I couldn't.
And I know conservative women could fall in love with me easily, though.
If I may say so myself.
Yeah, no, I don't. But let me real quickly. Got some calls coming in. 1-800-TALK-YES. Officials are fearful that Al-Qaeda could expand its plans for a wave of attacks overseas into the United States, but there is no specificity. Specificity. Is that it?
Specificity.
That's right. Specificity. Specificity as to potential targets or times of attack. This according to FBI Director Robert Mueller. Now, one thing, they ought to just get rid of that word specificity completely from the English
language. Whatever it is, get rid of it.
Yeah, exactly. The security alert is now high. And now here's what Mueller says. The American public ought to go about its business understanding that it ought to be vigilant. Now, what the hell does that mean? What are you vigilant for? Now,
I'm still trying to figure out that.
Yeah. We know from our interrogations with suspected terrorists that the system of alerts deters them. What do they say? All right, we're playing all these, they got some of these people captive, and they're playing Metallica.
Oh, yeah.
Enter Sandman. They're going, no, no, I'll tell
Barney.
You anything. No.
And Barney. They're playing
Barney. No, I'll talk. What do you want to know? Are these terror alerts, do they deter you? Yes, yes, I swear. No, turn off Metallica. I mean, this is who we're paying our tax dollars for. Mueller said that he believes that Osama bin Laden is still out there, and I think there's some concern about what kind of control he has over the people. Yeah, well, hello. People tell me to go to another country. Is there a spaceship leaving soon? Let's go to Bill in Lexington, Kentucky. Bill, it's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing good. Getting a little worked up. But
Well, I know you're getting a little worked up.
Yeah.
Calm down. Calm down.
Okay.
Things will be fun.
Good.
You ever heard of the book called Friendly Fascism by Bertram Gross?
This is amazing. You're the second person in a week that that alerted me to this book. I think it was from 1980.
Well, I got a great website for you to go to if you want to look up some information about the book and read some excerpts from it.
Let me get my pen. What is it?
Called the World Traveler, no, thirdworldtraveler.com.
And it's the T-H-I-R-D spelled out?
Yeah, T-H-I-R-D, worldtraveler.com.
Sure, yeah.
And it gives all kinds of information on fascism and... Or you use a Google search and type in Bertram Gross, and it will give you all kinds of references to the book.
Bertram Gross, indeed. I was out in Santa Fe last week broadcasting at KTRC out there, and someone brought a copy. Here's a almost a quarter-century-old book that was very prescient. It saw the future.
I've read the book, and it is amazing. And believe me, what he's speculates and writes about in the book is coming to fruition right now.
It is. It's
scary as hell.
I agree.
Sorry to say that word.
No, it's all right. We can roll with it.
Okay.
Yeah, that one.
Thank you, Bill.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you, and keep up the good work.
Please join us again. Appreciate it. 1-800-TALK-YES. 1-800-825-5937. Here's Todd in Augusta, Georgia. Todd, don't tell me we're on the air again in Augusta.
No, you're not on the air again in Augusta.
Call that man that ran that station and replaced us with disco to put us back on.
It's been replaced with soft jazz.
Soft jazz. Cool jazz.
Where is that?
In Augusta.
Everyone's all zen.
Soft jazz. That's good at night, you know. You're having a little...
No big deal about Martha Burke here in town, huh?
What's that?
Nobody cared.
Oh, that was for the...
Like 60 people showed up. That was it.
For Augusta?
For the Augusta Open.
No, the Masters.
The Masters, whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Nobody cared.
Whatever.
And the Canadian one anyway, so...
The Masters at Augusta National. That's what it is.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Listen, the Augusta National really supports this economy, you know what I mean? It's a very big deal, $40 million in 1 week.
Really?
You know what I think about that whole thing? I thought it all through. I really don't care what a bunch of rich old white men do. I don't. I don't want to be a part of their club.
Which
good deal. That's exactly
what
a private club is all about, being able to exclude other people.
Aren't you proud of me?
White old rich men. Worms. Well,
pretty good for a feminist. I had to let it go.
Yeah, because it's not, I mean, listen, there's so much more plight for women out there than whether a rich Sandra Day O'Connor gets to be a member of the Augusta National.
It's true, but hey, we're kind of getting a few digs in ourselves with Miss what's her name, the golfer who's playing with the PGA.
Monica Sorenstam.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
these guys down with the golf.
Yeah, you know what? I
grew up at the country club, Peter.
Yeah, okay.
any media attention, I guess, is good for the game.
Sure.
But she doesn't stand a chance, so it doesn't really matter.
Oh, okay.
Well, let her hit a few. Thank you, Tom.
I have one question.
Sure.
What are the chances of Hillary Clinton running for president?
I don't know. I don't think this time around very good, and unless Bush really falls flat on his face. She might rush out from the wings.
I think it would be the... I have so many Republican friends. I think it would be the greatest thing in the world if Bill Clinton was back in the White House. I would... I mean, I would wear a Bill Clinton's in the White House T-shirt every day for the rest of my life.
I'll tell you, I'm not a big Hillary fan. I'm not a big Hillary fan, but I would love to see her be president of the United States just to make these conservatives go apoplectic. And there
would
be...
Can you imagine?
Big
it would
Bill.
Be like a field day. I think it would be the greatest thing in the world.
And
I personally would just... I would smile for 8 years.
And I would tell Bill to smoke cigars openly. Just sit there with his feet up out in the rose garden.
Exactly. He'd be, and you know what's funny is when she went on like a world summit or something, he'd be hanging out with all the heads of state's wives and, you know, during little coffee chats. And
Bill the dog.
Like that. I think it'd just be great.
Thank you, Todd. Keep on listening on the internet and tell those people in Augusta to get this show back on the air. And hello to all these people out there. All right, let's go back to the fact that there's no specificity. It's even a hard one to say. Specificity to these attacks. And yet we saw what they did in Saudi Arabia. And I'm wondering, those of you who are familiar with the Middle East, like if you've lived in Israel or you've lived in France or you live in, some of you I know are listening in France and Israel and England, did the terrorism that came from the IRA and whatever it came from in France and from suicide bombers in Israel, how big a role did terrorism there and the threat of it play in daily life? Because I think that George W. Bush is playing us for saps, that they increase the sense of terror that we have. The think about this. We've been terrorized all along, right, Jalene? I mean, ever since September 11th, we're worried about this, we're worried about that.
Oh, yeah.
They've had all these alerts. They're going to bomb this. They're going to bomb bridges and banks. And
I'll get you, my pretty.
Yeah, there you go.
And people's pocketbooks have been terrorized.
There you go. Well, not if you're one of the big contractors that's feeding at the public trough that is being fed by the Fatherland Security Division, who on one hand tells us, oh, we got to look out there everywhere, and they may hit Boston and New York, and where's the third city, Philadelphia or something like that? New York, Washington, and Boston. And on the other hand, what did Mueller say? The public ought to go about its business, understanding that it ought to be vigilant. What do you do? Look for swarthy men of Middle Eastern descent. Only problem, folks, in Detroit, Michigan, there are 300,000 people of Middle Eastern extraction. So what do I do?
Peter, you just might as well just stay home.
Stay home. I'm going to go get some falafel. I'm going to go eat some baba ganoush.
With tahini.
Some hummus.
Love it.
Yeah. Some, what is it, ful madamas.
I love it all.
I love it all. Yeah, yeah. And I'm going to wash it down with some French wine. I'm Peter Werby. Jalene Jordan's with me. 1-800-TALK-YES. Back to get your calls.
This message is brought to you from American Atlantic Financial Corporation. Doesn't it pique your interest to discover how profits could potentially be made in markets like sugar, coffee, gold, foreign currencies, grains, unleaded gasoline, heating oil? Call American Atlantic Financial Corporation and receive a free video called Power, Performance, and Possibilities at no cost or obligation by just dialing toll-free 1-888-247-8400. That's 1-888-247-8400. American Atlantic Financial Corporation specializes in identifying undervalued opportunities and brings them to qualified investors. Call American Atlantic Financial Corporation and receive our latest recommendation. For your free investor's kit and video, call Power, Performance, and Possibilities. Call toll-free 1-888-247-8400. The call is free. The video is free by just dialing 1-888-247-8400. Futures and options involve significant risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone.
Announcing the Take Back America Conference, a progressive policy and action summit, June 4th, 5th, and 6th in Washington, D.C. On June 4th, 5th, and 6th, over 1,000 progressive leaders and activists from across the country will gather in the nation's capital to mobilize Take Back America and proclaim a new era of progressivism. This will be the largest and most diverse gathering of prominent progressive leaders in many years, and its impact will be dramatic. This is an unprecedented effort at a critical time in our nation's history. It is essential that the progressive majority develop a strategy that will confront the real issues America is facing with initiatives that can and will make a difference. For details and to register, visit www.ourfuture.org or call 800-833-1354. That's 800-833-1354.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Into Tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
The IE America Radio Network delivers progressive information and entertaining programming throughout the week and weekends. The Doug Steffen Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The home improvement experts in Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffen's Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Ramblin' with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumba will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
Welcome back to the Peter Werby Show. 1-800-TALK-YES. 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thanks a lot. Here's Jalene Jordan. We're getting lots of great email at calltalkyes@yahoo.com. We're talking about FBI Director Robert Mueller, or Mueller, depending. I hear it pronounced both ways, actually. He must say it correctly.
Yeah.
But he says there's no specificity of the attacks.
Of course, they never say that. This is new language. Before it was no specific or credible information. Mm. Remember that?
Yeah. Now he says Al-Qaeda is on the run. So why do we have to be vigilant? Why is this alert up to what it is? They've emptied these, embassies in Riyadh, in Saudi Arabia. But here, this is from Butch in Nacogdoches. I think I always say it wrong. Hey, Peter and Jalene, how can one be vigilant when our rights are being taken away and the police shoot at those who protest the war? What a sick moron regime we have. See ya.
See ya.
Yeah. Hey, you know, last hour, or maybe it was this hour even, we had somebody call in. I'm trying to remember where it was from. Oh, from Lexington, Kentucky. I think it was Bill. And he said you could get this very excellent book by Bertram. It's B-E-R-T-R-A-M. Bertram Gross, called Friendly Fascism. And he said you can go to thirdworldtraveler.com. And Dawn writes in, the Third World Traveler site goes into a web ring of porn that won't let you leave without logging off the computer.
Oh, no. I mean, usually you can get out of those.
God. And that's like, what is it? You can go to whitehouse.gov and get the official site. You can go to whitehouse.org and get a terrific parody site. But if you go to whitehouse.com, you're in the same thing. I'll have to check that later. I don't know. Bill sounded pretty sincere. Maybe he either gave us some wrong information, Dawn, or you logged onto it wrong. But I suspect you probably got it right. Here is Mickey in New Mexico. Mickey, it's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Are you listening to KTRC out there?
Oh, yes.
Welcome.
Yeah. I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I keep hearing all the time that if you have a question, you should call the White House number.
Okay.
And leave a message for the president. So I was wondering, if you do that, does the president ever get the message? Because one of the things, we're talking about Iraq and we're talking about Palestine and Israel, and I thought a good thing would be, since they got Arafat to resign and they have Abbas there, then why don't they get Sharon to resign, get him out, and put in a new prime minister? Maybe the two different ones would be able to solve this whole thing, because I think that's what started the whole war in the first place.
Well, Mickey, of course, you are too reasonable for reality. Yeah, that would be excellent. Sharon, who is virtually a convicted war criminal,
right,
by his own country's investigation board, should be out of there immediately, because he doesn't want peace. In fact, we are going to be talking in about 6 or 7 minutes with Catherine Cook, who's with a group called Middle East Research and Information Project, and we're going to be talking a lot about that.
Well, if I told that to the White House number, what do you think they'd do with it?
Do you remember what the Bronx cheer was?
No.
Oh, well, you know, it's just making a rude noise. You know, I mean, you can't count on them for much. But, you know, it never hurts. I actually think, well, to be honest, Mickey, I think they'll probably ignore it.
Oh.
That's how honest.
Well, they ought to do what I just said, and what you said is simple, too, instead of going the round-robin route.
I agree, and we'll talk with Catherine Cook about that. Mickey, thanks for listening to KTRC out there, and thanks for listening to the broadcast.
Yeah, thanks so much.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you. Real quickly, here's David in Alabama. David, hi. Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan. Good. Got about a minute.
Mass discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, weapons of mass discussion. That's you, huh?
Yes.
That's
right. Hey, the terror alert, you know, that's also fake, too. And what I'd like to say is I've noticed, I'm not a TV person, but I noticed when the terror alert is at its highest point, you see almost busloads of servicemen frolicking on the TV show, game show, trying to get on The Price is Right, Wheel of Fortune.
Is that right?
Yes. I mean, if it's such a big alert. Why are they pardoning?
I don't know. I don't know if they take it seriously. They probably know it's the boy that cried wolf again. David, going to have to cut you short because we can hear the music coming up. Stevie Ray Vaughan. It means we've got to take a break. So I appreciate your call. And we'll be back with Catherine Cook. David, thank you. Please call us again. Peter Werby, Jalene Jordan, 1-800-TALK-YES. The Middle East is next. The roadmap to nowhere.
Philip.
Constance.
Oh, Philip, I can't take this anymore. I want to be free.
You mean you want to be free of me, the kids, and the dirty laundry?
No.
Oh.
I want to be free of overnight laxatives that give me cramps.
Darling, that means Free Lax.
What's so different about Free Lax?
It's the only overnight laxative that gives you stimulant-free, cramp-free relief in just two caplets.
If I take Free Lax tonight, I'll get relief before the kids start fighting over breakfast?
Depend on it. Free Lax is the free of everything you hate about laxatives, laxative. Use only as directed.
You're listening to The Peter Werby Show, 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, on IE America Radio Network. For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Laura Miller.
More labor strife in France as nearly a half million workers, including teachers, bank employees, staff at the Postal Service, and workers at state-run France Telecom, went on strike again yesterday over government plans to reform the national pension system. Last week, a larger, more broad-based strike all but shut the country down, but since then, many of France's unions have come to terms with a slightly revised plan. Others have not, and they say they'll keep the pressure on as a run-up to a mass demonstration in Paris planned for Sunday.
Tropicana, the way Las Vegas was meant to be.
It's one of the oldest casinos on the Strip in Las Vegas, but union workers at the Tropicana Hotel are betting their employer won't be around much longer. The Tropicana is no longer booking conventions beyond May of 2004, leading many workers to speculate that hotel managers are preparing to demolish the casino to make way for a new development. As a result, Tropicana employees want a guarantee that they'll be the first to be hired if a new resort is built on the old site, and until they win such an agreement, they warn that picket lines and work stoppages may be imminent. The Tropicana's 1,200 union employees were the only such workers in Las Vegas left without a contract last year when the city's powerful culinary union won a new contract from every other resort and casino.
Government workers in South Korea are lobbying hard for the right to form a union, and the government seems keen to the idea with one catch. Government employees will be prohibited from going on strike. But the workers, many of whom think forming a union without the right to strike leaves them powerless, may walk off the job before they get permission to. The union-to-be, which already has more than 100,000 members, says it began a strike ballot this week, and the results should be known before the end of the month. You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with Animal?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on. This is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Yeah.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
It's Peter Werby. Call now at 1-800-TALK-YES. 1-800-825-5937.
They're playing our song. That's System of a Down. And System of a Down. And it's a modern rock band, obviously. Michael Moore. That's right. Michael Moore of Bowling for Columbine fame produced the video. You can go to michaelmoore.com and check it out. Michael getting 6,000 emails a day. Let me just clear up a couple of things, and then we'll get to our guest. Now, someone called in, I guess it was Bill from Lexington, Kentucky, and he was telling us about Bertram Gross's 1980 book called Friendly Fascism. And he said you could go to thirdworldtraveler.com. And Dawn wrote in and said, when you go there, it's a porn site. Well, you have to have one L in traveler, right? That's the deal. Third World Traveler, with the final L just being singular. So you can go to thirdworldtraveler.com, and everything is cleaned up there. I said earlier that I was going to sit down to a meal, I guess, to celebrate among our 300,000 residents in this area of Middle Eastern extraction here in the Detroit, Michigan area where I'm broadcasting from. And I was going to have, hummus and tabbouleh and baba ganoush and stuff like that. And John wrote into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. He said, don't forget the shish tuk, I guess it is, chickpeas or shawarma. And he says, oh, you're one of those bean eaters, aren't you? Yeah, just vegetarian stuff for me. All right, let's welcome Catherine Cook. Catherine Cook is media coordinator for the Middle East Research and Information Project, sometimes called MERIP, and she has co-authored the recent report, A Roadmap to the Oslo Cul-de-Sac. Wow, we got a little French there, Catherine. What's going on? Hey, this is we're talking about the roadmap. It's the roadmap to nowhere.
Which, yeah, basically is the same as the roadmap to the Oslo Cul-de-Sac.
All right, tell us what that means.
It basically, what we're trying to do with the article is highlight the ways that, although the roadmap has gotten a lot of media attention in the last several weeks, that the fact that it embodies a lot of the flaws that brought the Oslo process to a standstill are also embodied in the roadmap, and therefore people should approach the roadmap with a high degree of skepticism as to whether or not it's actually going to achieve the stated goals of bringing about a into the conflict, creation of a Palestinian state, and then into Israel's occupation.
Well, remind us, if you will, what Oslo was. At the end of this all, it's always said that the Palestinians rejected this generous offer from the Israelis. In fact, that phrase, generous offer, is repeated almost endlessly, showing the intransigence of the Palestinians, and particularly Yasser Arafat, in the kind of the mainstream view of things.
Well, basically what is known as the Oslo Years or the Oslo Accords is a series of agreements that started in 1993 with the signing of a document called the Declaration of Principles between the Israeli Prime Minister and the chairman of the Palestine Liberation Organization, Yasser Arafat. And after that, you saw a series of other agreements. Now, one of the issues going into this is that Israelis and Palestinians had different expectations as to where this process was going. Palestinians believed that the negotiation process was going to result in the creation of a Palestinian state. Israeli leadership, not so much, I will say, the Israeli public, but the Israeli leadership definitely had no such intentions. And what happened during this process is that in the 7 years where Palestinians and Israelis were negotiating, Israel implemented a number of policies where it actually succeeded in institutionalizing, its control over the West Bank and Gaza Strip. And one of the primary ways it did this was implementing a massive settlement policy, building upon, you know, the previous settlement policies that they had been implementing since 1967. But in the period of 1994 to 2000, which is the bulk of the Oslo years, the number of Israeli settlements or settlers in the West Bank and Gaza Strip doubled. And there was also the implementation of a network of bypass, so-called bypass roads, which sought to avoid Palestinian-populated areas to connect the settlements between themselves and with cities inside Israel. And what that ended up doing is basically dividing the territory of the West Bank and Gaza Strip and the West Bank into about 64 different isolated entities. And the way that this was allowed to happen was that a lot of the key issues to the conflict, refugees, borders, settlements, et cetera, under the Oslo Agreement were designated as permanent status or final status issues. So both sides agreed we're not going to talk about these issues until the end. However, both sides also agreed that we're not going to make any changes on the ground that are going to predetermine the results of these final status talks. Now, in spite of that agreement, Israel launched into this massive settlement campaign and succeeded in really expanding the number of settlers and its physical, making serious physical changes on the ground. And this took place, and there was no international intervention to stop it. There was not sufficient pressure upon Israel to stop its policies, which are, in fact, in violation of international law, and Palestinians remained largely helpless to stop Israel from making these physical changes to the status quo. Now, a lot of the similarities that were in the Oslo process, such as this phased agreement that we're not going to talk about, these issues such as borders, refugees, and settlements, until the third phase of the roadmap exist. Additionally, there is not a strong or a detailed monitoring mechanism, and there's not a detailed mechanism for how disputes are going to be resolved. So for a lot of people, they see that it has the same structure as Oslo, and having seen what happened during the Oslo years, it causes a lot of people not to have a lot of faith that this process is going to lead to an end of the conflict.
Mm-hmm. Catherine Cook, there is this great fear, and I think we have to make a separation between American Jews and the Jews of Israel, between how they view the process, how they view, for instance, the settlements and what have you. But in America, many American Jews are extraordinarily, probably the best word I can think of is suspicious of the Palestinians and see them as people possessed of this undying hatred for Jews simply based on anti-Semitism, and are wary of any settlement. Now, you have traveled frequently in the Middle East since 1996, and I see you even lived in Ramallah from 1999 till just last year. And I guess maybe a question would come up: how, you know, that one would say, "Well, your sympathy lies with the Palestinians, and you and your concern for the Jews is limited because of that."
Well, I would reject such a statement. I think that arguments like that are often used to dismiss people who have ideas that are not so prominent in the mainstream media. I think that myself, I came to began studying the Middle East with no preconceived ideas other than obviously ones that grew up from my socialized background. But I'm not an American Jew. I'm not Arab. I'm not Muslim. I'm pretty much your average American from the middle of Missouri who started studying the region. And the final analysis that I've come to is that the root causes of this conflict are not based in religion, that Palestinians are not fighting Israelis because of anti-Semitism or a hatred. It has to do with oppression and a population of 3 million people that are struggling for self-determination, to have a state of their own and to have control over their lives. And I think that one of the reasons that a lot of people in this country have misunderstandings of what the real origins of the conflict are based on a lot of misinformation that exists. They don't get through mainstream media a really accurate portrayal of what's happening on the ground. And I witnessed this. You know, I had an idea of this before I went there, but on the ground, while you're living there and you're seeing what's happening around you in the occupied territories, it's really shocking to see the way that it's covered outside, where there is a disproportionate amount of attention on Palestinian violence against Israeli civilians, and that definitely should have attention. But then there's a much less amount of attention on the very daily institutional violence that results from the Israeli occupation in terms of killings of civilians, in terms of the measures that have caused devastation of the economy, devastation of educational infrastructure, and basically living there made me realize that, you know, this is something that Palestinians encounter on a daily basis, these massive violations of their rights, that having anything that we would in the U.S. consider a normal life is absolutely impossible, particularly now where there are regularly curfews imposed, where, you know, people can't even leave your house. So I found myself being utterly shocked that I was in a situation where literally time could be voided. All the kind of components that make up daily life do not exist. And this has engendered, these policies have engendered a high degree of frustration, hostility, and anger that is carried out in a wide variety of manners. Unfortunately, it is the suicide bombings that gets the most attention in the U.S. Other examples of ways that Palestinians are struggling to resist this occupation, particularly nonviolent ways, do not receive as much attention. And I will say from my personal experience, I was working for a children's rights organization, and so I was very active in the NGO community there. And there is a very vibrant NGO community that is consistently working with UN mechanisms within the international law framework, et cetera, to use these internationally accepted mechanisms for bringing about an end to the policies that are being implemented in the West Bank and Gaza. But they're basically reach a dead end because there's no political will on the part of the international community to pressure Israel to abide by its obligations under international law. Now, I think until the root causes of this conflict are addressed, unfortunately, both Israelis and Palestinians are going to continue to suffer civilian casualties.
Now, well, I was going to say, the portrayal often is that Israel is retaliating against these almost inherently violent people. How do you respond to that?
I would say that the suicide bombings, the violent attacks that we're seeing now, are not the cause of the conflict. This conflict is not about suicide bombings. This conflict dates back to the creation of the State of Israel in between 1947 to 1949, when 750,000 Palestinians were made refugees and never allowed to return. It was exacerbated in 1967 when Israel illegally occupied the West Bank and Gaza Strip. And in particular, it's been maintained in that period since then because the manner in which Israel has implemented its control over the West Bank and Gaza Strip has basically been characterized by gross violations of human rights on every level on a daily basis. And so what we see, in my opinion, from my experience being there and studying there, is there's a direct correlation between the manner in which Israel implements its occupation and the extent of and frequency of Palestinian violence against Israeli civilians. And so to argue that these are all measures in retaliation simply historically doesn't make sense. The suicide bombings didn't start until the beginning of the 1990s. The conflict dates to the 1948 or 1967 if we're talking about the occupation. Mm-hmm. The period of the First Intifada, 1987 to 1993, the entire period of that, suicide bombings did not enter into it until the very last. The majority of the First Intifada or the First Uprising was restricted to mainly popular demonstrations. There would be stone throwing against Israeli soldiers or settlers that were in the occupied territories, etc. But as this goes on and the situation continually grows worse, living conditions for Palestinians grow worse, that situation simply breeds extremism. Mm-hmm. So it's in both, it's in Israel's own interest to end the occupation.
Well, the whole idea, though, that of Ariel Sharon demanding an end to Palestinian violence, and that somehow that either the old leadership or the current leadership of the Palestinians have to end it, it's an impossible demand, isn't it?
I mean, I think it's impossible, and I think it's a recipe for allowing Sharon not to proceed with negotiations that are going to bring about the end of the conflict. And I also think that, you know, this is his policy that he's had since he's been in power since February of 2001. And I think that it's shown it's not bringing greater security to Israeli civilians. Ignoring the root causes of this conflict is not bringing safety to either population. And to suggest that there are two problems with the argument that, you know, there needs to be a complete cessation of violence amongst the Palestinians before Israel will take any actions. The first is that it puts the entire onus on the Palestinian Authority and completely absolves Israel of having had any role in the situation as it exists at present. And the second issue is that there's a lot of discussion about Israel making concessions or good faith measures. And things that are mentioned are home, you know, Indian home demolitions, targeted assassinations, Indian land confiscation, easing the movement of restrictions. But what's often lost is that these are not concessions that Israel has, you know, should have a choice in making. These are Israel's obligations under international law as a member of the UN, as a state party to various human rights treaties. And so Israel's legal obligations to cease these types of practices in the West Bank and Gaza Strip do not depend on whether or not the Palestinian Authority takes action. These have to do with Israel's status of having chosen to sign and ratify various human rights treaties.
Catherine Cook, a final question. It doesn't seem to me that Ariel Sharon or the right wing of Israeli society wants peace at all. Rather, what they want is a piece of the West Bank, in fact, all of it. And so what do we have to look forward to? I mean, first, do you accept my analysis? And secondly, what do we have to look forward to?
I think definitely in general I accept your analysis. Ariel Sharon is a man who has basically made his career on settlement. He's very tightly linked to the settlement movement, and the settlement movement is about ensuring that Israel maintains control over land and resources in the West Bank and Gaza, at the same time as not having to deal with the responsibility of being responsible for the civilian population there. What we have to look forward to, I really think at this point, that the only hope is that if there is international pressure, both from governments but also from populations, to ensure that international human rights and humanitarian law come back to the center of this, and that there's political will on the part of the international community to ensure that both sides abide by those obligations. And that means, you know, that will bring about an end to Palestinian attacks on Israeli civilians, and it will also bring about an end to Israeli state violence against Palestinians. And I really think that that's the only way, that's the only hope for bringing about a resolution to this conflict.
Well, thank you so much for being with us. And in about an hour, actually now about 45 minutes, we're going to be talking with Rabbi Michael Lerner. There's a big conference in Washington, D.C. So, Catherine Cook, when you talk about citizen involvement and not just having to hope that the politicians of the world do the right thing, which they haven't done so far, this will give us at least one idea of how we can go.
Excellent.
If people want to see Catherine Cook's co-authored report, A Roadmap to the Oslo Cul-de-Sac, they can go to MERIP, MERIP.org. You can go to my website, Peter Werbe, PETERWERBE.com, PeterWerbe.com, and you can go on to the daily guests section and you will see this listed. Catherine Cook, thanks for joining me on the Peter Werbe Show.
Thanks for having me.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, I did tell people to why can't, oh, why isn't this, get out of here. Get now. All right, what am I doing? Why can't I, there you go. Thank you. All right, a couple of you on hold. Please stay there. We want to hear what you have to say about these issues confronting us. Peter Werbe, I'll be back with Jalene Jordan. We're at 1-800-TALK-YES. Hold on.
Hey folks, it's John Madden here to tell you about Ace Hardware's big Memorial Weekend Super Sale going on from May 23rd through May 26th. Get over $200 in rebate savings on products you can use for your barbecue this weekend, plus everything you need to improve your home and garden. Our friendly and knowledgeable staff will help you get the right product right now. Head to your local Ace Hardware store for big savings. Ace, the helpful place.
Quantities limited, available at participating stores.
And we're playing all your favorites, but right now I have a pair of free tickets to tonight's big concert for the third caller. Oh, let's go to the phone lines. They are heating up, and let's see. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Ms. Shannon Johnson?
Yes, yes it is.
Oh, you sound very excited.
I am.
Well, Ms. Johnson, I have good news.
I'm the third caller.
No, I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Max, I can't go on anymore. I want to be free.
You want to be free of Hollywood, the glamour, the fame?
No, I want to be free of overnight liquid laxatives that taste like I'm drinking chalk.
Well, it's easy, baby. Take Freelax. It's the only overnight laxative that gives you stimulant-free, cramp-free relief in just two caplets.
Ooh, are you sure I'll be free of constipation before my early morning flight to the coast?
Depend on it. Freelax is the free of everything you hate about laxatives. Laxative.
Oh, Max.
Use only as directed.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah, yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hey, Chuck, welcome to Nebraska. How you doing, buddy? Welcome
to Nebraska.
How are you doing? We're lost in sauce, buddy.
You guys are having way too much fun. You know that.
Isn't that the truth? What can we do for you, Chuck?
Hey, I tell you what. I got a border collie, and I called you guys up about 9-10 months ago, and you gave me some advice. This dog was a one-person dog, and that was my wife. Mm. And you gave me some advice that said that
you
give him some time and work with him, and I did. And I just want to thank you guys for what you said to me, because I really worked with his dog, and now he's kind of on my side.
And that doesn't bother you so much, does it?
No, not really. No.
Excellent.
No, this phone call is just to thank you for your advice. I sure appreciate that, because it sure worked out good. It worked out great.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Gave the direction. They said, "Bush it."
The Peter Werby Show, 1-800-TALK-YES.
That's Daryl Cherney, C-H-E-R-N-E-Y. Go to DarylCherney.com. He's an Earth First troubadour. And hi, Jalene Jordan. I hear a deafening silence. Anyways, I want to thank Joe. The complaint department, by the way, is always here. Rather, is always open. The complaint department is always open. Jalene, you with me?
I'm here.
Yeah, good. Joe wrote in after we talked with Catherine Cook about the Middle East and the roadmap to nowhere. And I said that American Jews are suspicious of Palestinians, and I stand corrected. Joe wrote into calltalkyes@yahoo.com, and he said, try to avoid generalizations such as American Jews are suspicious of Palestinians.
Yeah.
Please understand that we are not one people, one mind. And he goes on, he says, this is one of the problems with the media. And that's true. That's with everybody. When you talk about whites or blacks, or you can't ever make those generalizations.
Never, ever,
they're terrible.
Ever.
I stand corrected. And Rob from Washington, D.C., he has patiently been waiting throughout our whole interview. Hey, Rob, it's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome.
Well,
Thank you. It's always a privilege to talk to the both of you. And I do have to add that thanks in part to your show, even though I've always been pro-Israeli, I'm a lot more pro-Palestinian than maybe I used to be.
Well, yeah, it's not even a matter of that either. You know, we're at, listen up in about a half an hour or so, and we're going to be talking with Rabbi Michael Lerner, who's putting together this this conference from the Tikkun community, T-I-K-K-U-N. You might look that up online. Here's a man that's passionately concerned with Jews in the world and their safety, and we'll see what he has to say. But give me a quick buzz on what you got, because I got one more call in just a minute or so.
Sure. I'm very upset about the U.S. decision to ban Canadian beef. I believe that the decision has been made rashly. It's been like that bit in Alice in Wonderland where the Red Queen said verdict first and trial afterward. they haven't even gotten the evidence in yet, and this is going to be extremely damaging to the Canadian economy. I believe it's a fulfillment of Bush's threat to punish Canada and every other country who disagreed with us in the war. And I also believe that it is very damaging to the integrity of American institutions like the CDC and the National Institutes of Health.
Well, let's do this, Rob. We got to end this segment anyways. And, Jalene, we're going to have Howard Lyman, the Mad Cowboy. And he talks about mad cow disease. What time is it?
Tomorrow at 2:30 Eastern. And he said in the past that mad cow is here in the United States, and he said it definitely is in Canada. And that was, a couple of years ago.
So I wonder, Rob, I'm going to put your concerns to him, or maybe you'll want to call him directly at that time. Yeah, in fact, do that. Call back, and we'll put it to him directly. If you're on hold, please stay there. We'll get your call right after our break. And I'm sure... My system is not working here. Peter Werby, Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK. Yes, we'll be right back.
You've been listening to The Peter Werby Show on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows when you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Marna Woken. Concerns about possible new terrorist attacks in the U.S. have prompted Homeland Security officials to raise the nation's terror alert level from yellow to orange, or high. The move follows the recent terrorist bombings in Saudi Arabia and Morocco. Reports indicate threatening emails intercepted by intelligence officials warn of possible attacks in New York City, Washington, D.C., Boston, and at U.S. beaches. Homeland Security Secretary Tom Ridge says Al-Qaeda remains the main threat, but other groups, regional extremists, and disgruntled individuals could also pose a danger. President Bush says the U.S. will not relent in the global war against terrorism.
We have seen the ruthless intentions of our enemies, and they are seeing our intentions. We will press on until this danger to our country and to the world is ended.
The president delivered the commencement address at the U.S. Coast Guard Academy in New London, Connecticut. He praised all U.S. men and women in uniform for liberating Iraq, an enemy he says rejected every rule of warfare and morality. Bush has long linked Iraq and terrorism. He warned that the treachery of terrorism continues to threaten the entire world. SARS may be here to stay. That's what Michael Osterholm told a Senate panel during a hearing on the potentially deadly flu-like virus. Dr. Osterholm is a disease research expert from the University of Minnesota. He said the world is probably not seen the worst of SARS yet. As for U.S. exposure, Osterholm said, we've been lucky so far.
What happened in Toronto could just as easily have happened in Buffalo, Cleveland, Detroit, or Minneapolis, St. Paul. Imagine what any one of these American cities would have experienced had an epidemic unfolded in their community and subsequently been had an international advisory issued urging no travel to that community.
There have been no confirmed cases of SARS in the U.S. Osterholm said we are in the early days of an international epidemic. He likened the outbreak to the early days of HIV/AIDS. We'll have more in a moment.
Okay, so I'm a teenager, right? And everyone's so quick to judge me. On the outside, I may look like... But on the inside, I'm all... Just because I look like doesn't mean I act that way. In fact, I'm actually involved in crime prevention. That sounds more like this. It's really a great way to convince adults that while you may be looking, you're really thinking.
Call 1-800-722-TEENS to find out how to make your community a safer place for everyone. Get involved. Get the number and call. 1-800-722-TEENS. A public service message from the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Ad Council.
It is still too early to make a firm judgment on the nation's economic activity following the end of hostilities in Iraq. Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan had said that when he testified before a Congressional Joint Economic Committee today. Greenspan also told lawmakers it's too soon to assess the current underlying strength of the real economy. Greenspan's testimony cited the quick conclusion to major combat operations in Iraq as a factor that helped alleviate concerns about the economy's health. He also expects the trend toward more normal levels in gas prices. We'll have more in a moment.
John, there's something I must tell you. I want to be free.
Oh, Helen, you want to be free with the wind in your hair, life without care?
No, I want to be free of those overnight laxatives that give me cramps.
You want Freelax, the only overnight laxative that gives you stimulant-free, cramp-free relief in just two caplets.
Oh, John, I just wish everything could be that dependable.
Freelax is the free of everything you hate about laxatives. Laxative, look for it in the bright green box. Use only as directed.
The chilling transfer.
Books of poetry and T-shirts and a wonderful little art object that I have hanging on my wall. I mean, it was almost embarrassing. People were so wonderful to me out
there. My gosh.
You should have been there.
I know.
You could have walked away with some of the loot.
I could have gotten some gifts, too.
We would have been fighting for mine. No, mine.
But, you know, you have a T-shirt for me, though.
Oh, I do. That's
remember?
Right.
So yeah. I did get something.
But they gave you a small one. Don't you remember all the laughter?
Oh, yeah. I remember that whole thing. Boys will be boys, won't they?
Hey, I wasn't involved in it. I was just there.
Listen, Peter, the whole crowd cheered at the idea of seeing me in that little T-shirt.
Oh, well, there were, half of them were women, and they're all feminists out there.
Come on, this is a political talk show. Behave, that's right. This is a political talk
all
show.
Right, let's go back to politics. Friendly fascism, Bertram, what's his name? Gross, I think. Right. Yeah, Bertram Gross. He was the author of this book almost a quarter century ago, 1980, called Friendly Fascism, and it predicted a lot of what's going on here. It wasn't going to come with jackboots and what have you, but more just democracy suffering a death of 1,000 cuts. Now, we were told to go to thirdworldtraveler.com. Dawn wrote and said, now, wait a minute. It's a porn site, and you can't get off it because all it does is give you endless pop-ups, right? So it turns out she was putting an extra L at the end. So it's Third World Traveler, just with one L, .com. And let's see, according to Bill, wait a minute.
Yeah, Third World Traveler.
Yeah, but now he says it does bring up porn site articles are there.
Oh.
Wait.
No, I just did it from the link that Bill sent me.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bill.
Yeah.
And this is Third World Traveler. It puts up magazine articles and book excerpts that offer an alternative view to the corporate media about the state of democracy in America.
Well, this is another one. The link is thirdworldtraveler.com and does bring up porn site articles are there by the likes of Howard Zinn, Noam Chomsky. Oh, but no porn. What does that mean? What does that tell? This doesn't make it. Oh, this is Bill from Lexington again. Yeah.
Okay. Bill from Seattle sent me.
Okay. This is. All right. This is very. All right. Which brings me to my website. Thank you.
Go there.
Now let's talk about me. My website, peterwerby.com. I've got to change it because it's really still heavy on the Iraq war, although we shouldn't forget about that. Now the occupation, the dreaded occupation that's going to wind up to be 100,000 troops there for who knows how long. They're not going to create an indigenous government. They're trying to bring back all of these people that have been overseas for anywhere from, you know, 5 years to 25 years. But anyway, my website, Peter Werby, W-E-R-B-E, peterwerby.com. Somebody wrote in, and in fact, they called in to that 800 number. Do you remember what that is off the top of your head? I can
397-8255.
Yeah, you can leave a message for me. We listen to it all the time. How do you remember these things? Or are you looking at it?
I'm not looking at it.
Yeah, 800-397-8255.
And I'm blonde. Hey. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're doing excellent. In any event, somebody wrote in, some right-wing nutball, and he's going, between every sentence, John, did you hear that? He says, anywho. Yeah, he says, anywho, you really suck. And anywho, your website looks like it was put together by a teenager.
Perhaps he's homophobic.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, he did say something about it. He says, anywho, your photograph of you smiling, maybe your friends, one of your friends is tickling you, if you know what I mean.
Oh, my.
I didn't know what he meant. But
what would you do with a brain if you had one?
But now, John is having too much fun. He's towards the end of his shift, and he's getting bored. He's going to start just playing all these little clips, whether they have any relevance or not.
Peter, I sense some hostility.
On my part?
No, coming from this person who...
Oh, yes. Yeah. So I was... our webmaster, Bill, was going to redesign the site. Now, he actually...
I think he has been in a...
Yeah.
He's...
When you go to peterwerby.com, it says Another World is Possible, you know, the show of Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan, yada, yada. All that is very professional because Bill is just great. He's a, you know, a well-skilled webmaster. Everything below it is my mess, right? Because
right.
You're not supposed to have
So you're
that.
The third grader.
I'm the third grader. But, you know, and I thought I ought to try to make it a little more professional, right?
Okay.
But you know how ornery I actually am, right?
Peter,
yes.
No one knows it more than I.
Yes.
Oh, and
yeah, my wife knows it better.
She, I know.
Yeah. So I pretend like I'm really a nice guy. Actually, I'm really ornery, and as well as ordinary. And and so I'm going to keep it like that. I'm going to have it this mess because what you're supposed to have is buttons. So it would take you to all the Bush stuff or all the anti-war stuff or all the economic stuff. But what happens with my site is you go down endlessly vertically, and that's not good. You're not supposed to do that in the world of web design. You're supposed to,
so you need to have some texture or something like that.
Scroom. That's what I say. I'm keeping it messy. We were talking about SARS with Dr. Quentin Young, and here, this is from Diana. This is an interesting concept. Says, Peter, there's nothing mysterious about SARS or AIDS or the plagues to come. That's nice, Diana. This is Ecology 101. Oversimplifying here, the natural constraints on animal population size are mainly predation and starvation. If something removes these two main causes of death, then the next main cause of death kicks in, which is disease. This is an extraordinarily frightening concept, folks, because this is called overshoot, that the human population has overshot its carrying capacity. Does that make sense just on the face of it?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. In other words, there's too many of us. I mean, we've heard that before for lots of different reasons. And I don't 100% agree with that, partly because the reason that there's such poverty and disease, let me put it the other way. The reason there's so much disease is because there's so much poverty. And the reason that there is so much poverty isn't because there's not enough wealth to go around, but because of the maldistribution of wealth in the world. We see it here in this country. It's also true worldwide. There's enough wealth that no one would have to starve to death, as they do, tens of millions of people every year, that hundreds and hundreds of millions of people go to bed hungry every day, that millions and tens of millions of people are going to die from AIDS because of a refusal of the greedy rulers of the world to part with their wealth. The wealth they don't even need to improve their own lives or consume every little bauble and bangle and island that they could possibly buy, but rather because they want to hoard it because it translates into political power. So, essentially, the ruling apparatus of this world is Murder Incorporated. And they are willing to sacrifice tens of millions of people. And I think they probably think, as did Marie Antoinette, that famous thing, let them eat cake. That's not actually, no, I'm sorry, that's not the famous line. Her real famous line, I think, was from her husband, Louis the whatever, the 14th, 15th, 16th, whatever. You want to hear me name all the kings of France, by the way? I can do it by memory. All of
really?
Them. Yeah, yeah.
Go.
Philip, Louie.
Good one. Good one, Peter.
Yeah.
You're so smart.
Hey, I took English, what was it, Legal and Constitutional History of England. We had to memorize all the kings of England. That was a little harder. They had different names. Yeah. Anyways, one of the Louis, I think he said, he was warned about how miserable the people were, and he said, after us, the deluge. After us, the flood. After us, you know, but he was wrong. Came at the same time. But anyways, this is an interesting concept because even if wealth was distributed in a manner that people weren't starving to death and dying from AIDS and now this SARS, and some people have predicted some pretty dire things that really frighten me. One of the few things that frightens me. I don't think I'm going to be a victim of terrorism, but SARS, I don't know. I mean, you know, the influenza epidemic of, I think, 1918 killed millions of people worldwide, maybe 10 million people. From flu.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It took a tremendous toll. So the theory here, that of overshoot, that we've overshot our carrying capacity, is located in some deep ecology theories. So that, you know, that's why she's saying it's ecology 101. Actually, Diane, I think it's probably like ecology 804, a real high graduate level course. But I don't know. The more kind of politically charged germs, if you will, are those that were supposed to be residing in Iraq. Remember that? The weapons of mass destruction. Hey!
Right, that is more politically charged. You've got that right.
We need something for that, John.
Yeah, we do. And Howard Lyman tomorrow will talk all about this.
About Iraqi weapons of mass destruction?
No, about diseases in animals.
Oh, okay. But let me say this. Here is an article on the front page of the New York Times that says, U.S. analysts link Iraq mobile labs to germ arms. It's a weird way to put armaments.
Okay,
that's what
right.
they mean. So you think, whoa, they got the smoking gun. Yeah, United States intelligence agencies have concluded that two mysterious trailers found in Iraq were mobile units to produce germs for weapons. You go, man, they got them. All right, it's all justified. Doesn't matter how many civilians got killed.
Who's saying that?
What kind of international law? It's according to administration officials. But get this. Oh. They have found neither biological agents or evidence that the equipment was used to make such arms.
Of course not. We haven't found one thing.
So isn't this headline, which many people will read and then digest and say, here's the proof that, in fact, Saddam Hussein was armed to the teeth?
It's really sad. It's just,
officials,
we're fighting such a big fight, Peter.
Yeah. Officials said intelligence analysts in Washington and Baghdad reached their conclusion about the trailers after analyzing and rejecting alternative theories of how they could have been used. So they looked at everything else and they said, well, the only thing they could be used for is this. Officials in Iraq and Washington emphasized in interviews that because the unit studied in greatest detail had been thoroughly decontaminated with a still unidentified caustic agent, it was impossible to say whether it had ever produced agents for bioweapons.
Oh, my
gosh.
So
shouldn't the headline be the absolute opposite of this?
It should. It should be nothing found in empty lab.
There you go. A senior administration official, and that very frequently could be Darth Rumsfeld. Well, there goes Jolene. See you later. It could be Darth Rumsfeld, the minister for war. It could be Dick Cheney. And a senior administration official said it may have. We don't know. What we know is that it is equipped to do it. So it doesn't say a hell of a lot, does it? Also here from George Guetta, the Associated Press writer who does a lot of international writing, generally pretty sympathetic to the Bush gang. You're back, Jolene.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah. Director George Tenet of the CIA warned last fall that if the United States attacked Saddam Hussein, that he might hand off his forbidden weapons to Islamic terrorists for a counterattack.
Oh, okay.
So if you accept this theory that, in fact, there were these hundreds of tons of chemical weapons, nuclear weapons, and what have you. Well, guess what? What did this invasion do? It didn't make us safer, did it? But now the wackos of the world have them.
Yeah, if that's true.
Yeah, I don't think it's true.
I don't either.
Liar, 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 liar. Didn't that sound like me?
That was you. That was recorded you.
Where did that come from?
Hey, we need to use that when I'm solo, so we can have Peter on the show. I'm going to remember that one.
Mean people suck. That's me too. Mean people suck. Yeah. All right. Let's see. Some analysts say that the scenario cannot be ruled out, but can they say it can be ruled in? This is what this world is being run on. Nonsense statements, unprovable contentions, theories, theorems.
Don't believe it. Don't believe the hype.
Yeah, don't believe. There you go. Don't believe the hype. Who did that?
Oh, now we need someone to answer that question.
Jeez. Isn't it a rap song?
I don't know.
All right, Peter Werbe and Jalene Jordan, we're going to be right back at 33 minutes after the hour. Rabbi Michael Lerner will be with us, so hold on, please.
Announcing the Take Back America Conference, a progressive policy and action summit, June 4th, 5th, and 6th in Washington, D.C. On June 4th, 5th, and 6th, over 1,000 progressive leaders and activists from across the country will gather in the nation's capital to mobilize Take Back America and proclaim a new era of progressivism. This will be the largest and most diverse gathering of prominent progressive leaders in many years, and its impact will be dramatic. This is an unprecedented effort at a critical time in our nation's history. It is essential that the progressive majority develop a strategy that will confront the real issues America is facing with initiatives that can and will make a difference. For details and to register, visit www.ourfuture.org or call 800-833-1354. That's 800-833-1354.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
You've got to love the Bushites' orchestration of Orwellian wordplay when they issue new edicts to gut the public interest. Instead of simply admitting that they're rigging the rules to further enrich their corporate campaign contributors, they use poll-tested phrases to make a negative sound positive, such as balancing environmental excess or modernizing outdated labor laws. These Orwellian phrases always cover up a gotcha. The latest example comes from the FCC, which is supposed to be our watchdog over the public airwaves. But Chairman Michael Powell is the lapdog of the big conglomerates that want to turn our airwaves into their private, for-profit plaything. He's now trying to ram through a rigging of FCC ownership rules that would let this handful of global media giants gain almost total control over mass market news in your city and throughout the country. But rather than admit that this is a giveaway of an essential public asset, our airwaves, Powell plays word games, claiming that he's simply revising the rules of a bygone era. Well, if he means an era in which a diversity of opinions, local news, free-flowing information, and real competition existed on our airwaves, that certainly will be long gone under Powell's revision. For example, he wants to allow a single conglomerate to control the TV programming for 90% of the American people. He also wants to let a single corporation own the newspapers and practically all of the radio and TV stations in any city or in any number of cities. This is not the marketplace at work, as the Bushites claim. It's forced monopolization, and it will destroy any democracy on our airwaves and in our news sources. This power grab is so outrageous that Powell allowed only one perfunctory public hearing on it and plans to ram it through in a rushed-up vote. This is Jim Hightower saying, to fight for a democratic media, call the Free Press Media Reform Network, 413-585-1533.
We're back. It's the Peter Werbe Show. Call Peter at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thank you very much, Angeline Jordan, as well. We're talking about the non-existent weapons of mass destruction. What is that?
I don't know. I liked it, though.
It's a song. You know the scratches in there, some of these albums that on CDs, and they put the old-fashioned LP scratches in it.
I know. They're still
weird.
Doing it.
Very weird. On my website, peterwerbe.com, P-E-T-E-R-W-E-R-B-E, I have a new deck of cards.
You do?
Yeah, I've got about six or seven on there. You know, they had that deck of cards. Whatever, everything just gets forgotten. They had the deck of cards for everybody they wanted in Iraq. How many people did they catch? Like 11 out of 54?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they haven't given up the hunt.
Yeah, this is a new deck of cards. In fact, it says on here, decks of cards that tell the truth. And this is a deck of cards that says, know your war profiteers. Yeah, because people are getting real wealthy. I think
that's a great idea. Yeah. I love that.
And I just kind of looked briefly at it, but it's all the people that are making a fortune off of war. And, of course, all these rich people are paying for it. So what the hell? Oh, no, that's right. No, we're paying for it.
That's right.
We're paying for it. So you can take your choice, war or national health program, war or good schools. What else? War or a good infrastructure. War or cities that are like gardens that we can walk anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, and Marilyn, I think being a woman, and you could probably speak to this as well, Jolene, no matter what city we're in, you know, lock the car, look both ways, and what have you. You know, I mean, that there's, I mean, that we live in a country where women have to be fearful almost
everywhere.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Except for 1 week a year when I go hang out with nothing but women, and it is the most amazing feeling to feel safe. It really is.
That's interesting.
Because I don't feel safe. I mean, I'm in South Florida, Detroit before that. Even in Iowa, believe it or not, in Des Moines, Iowa, I didn't feel safe. Probably because I was a crime reporter and covering all the crime, and I saw it. But, you know, that 1 week a year I go there, and I just, it's a wonderful thing.
Well, this should be everywhere, though.
We have a long way to go for that to happen.
Well, part of it is the nature of the economic system. Part of it is the nature of the culture that we have. When you have a culture in which war is so ingrained, that anger and violence and punishment and all these negative emotions that are poisonous to our communities are so close to the surface.
Well, obviously, and I did tell you this. A friend of mine down here got jumped while she was out running.
Really?
Got jumped by this guy, and, I mean, she fought him off. But, I mean, why can't this woman just go running?
Mm-hmm. Marilyn was running one time, and we used to live in a much poorer neighborhood, and so she would always take off her rings, like our marriage ring, or, you know, what do you call them? Wedding ring.
Right.
Those are there. Wedding ring and stuff like that. And so while she was gone, somebody broke into the house. Stole him.
No. Oh, that's what she gets, huh?
Wow.
Being too careful.
Yeah. We're talking terrible. In the first hour about fascism, and there's a connection between all of this. I mean, somebody that wants to impose their will on others, the triumph of the will, to use that phrase of the Nazis, I think coming from Nietzsche. It is something that refuses to recognize, if you think about it, the sanctity of the individual. And we began, remember the whole hour with talking with about Chris Hedges in that book, War is the, I don't have it in front of me, but something that gives meaning to the world or something, unfortunately. I mean, he wasn't celebrating this. Let me see. Right. I have it right here. I have his book. War is a force that gives us meaning. And he talks about the war between Thanatos, that's the spirit of death, and Eros, the spirit of love. And ultimately, he says, love alone can save us. And this is a hard message, I think, for a lot of people that live in this world to actually...
Too cynical.
Here's Kodak in Nashville, Tennessee. Kodak, Peter Werbe, and Jolene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES.
How are you doing today?
Doing good.
Kodak.
Hi, Jolene.
Super.
Hi.
Thanks for asking.
You're welcome. Listen, yesterday there was a point that I think flew right over everyone's head regarding the Michael Moore's upcoming movie with Vera Max and...
Let's talk more about it. But Kodak, hold on. Can you hold on a minute?
Yeah.
Okay, because we're gonna be back with Michael Lerner as well, right?
Yes,
right,
we are.
We'll finish up with Kodak, and then we'll go to Michael Lerner. So hold on, please.
Hey,
it's John Madden here to tell you about Ace Hardware's big Memorial Weekend Super Sale going on from May 23rd through May 26th. Get over $200 in rebate savings, like a 16-inch stand fan, only $8.99 after $5 mail-in rebate. A Black & Decker 12-inch string trimmer, only $19.99 after $10 mail-in rebate. Or a color hose with nozzle, only $11.99. Find more great deals like these at Ace Hardware this weekend only. Ace, the helpful place.
Quantities limited. Available at participating stores.
You're listening to The Peter Werby Show. Family Talk with Mike Riera is next on IE America Radio Network.
A military base in Wisconsin provides refuge for rare plants. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. A 60,000-acre military base with firing ranges and thousands of troops seems an unlikely place to find rare plants. But Fort McCoy in Wisconsin provides habitat for 14 kinds of rare plants. Mark Leach is an ecologist at the University of Wisconsin Arboretum. Leach has studied the vegetation at the fort, and he published a report in a recent Michigan Botanist. He says military training at Fort McCoy protects the land from development.
Sort of incidental or almost accidental conservation. The land is not kept for the purpose of conservation, but conservation seems to be, for the most part, compatible with the military training that goes on there.
Leach says the military prefers to train soldiers in a natural setting. They keep the scenery wild by shifting war games around before the tanks and troops do too much damage. Leach says the ecosystem at Fort McCoy evolved with disturbances such as wildfires and mud pits where bison used to wallow. He says the native oak and pine savannas now depend on tank treads and bombs to create sunlit openings. That helps plants like the tiny flame flower.
It's actually kind of a wimpy plant. It's not a very good competitor. It seems to thrive in the places where the other vegetation is slightly disturbed. So it grows along the tank trails, and it grows in these places that are burned frequently, and seems to be highly successful there.
Leach says the military avoids sensitive habitats altogether. Fort McCoy has several cool water streams that support, among other things, a rare plant called bog bluegrass. Leach says it's not a very impressive-looking plant, but it's hard to find anywhere else. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
This representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network. The Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
Show 1-800-TALK-YES 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much. Welcome back, and let's finish up our call with Kodak calling in from Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Kodak. We have our guest on the line, Rabbi Michael Lerner. So let me ask you to tell us quickly.
I'll be brief.
Sure.
My point earlier was that we have the government actually calling citizens, asking them not to show dissent in any form of media. With the story concerning Michael Moore yesterday, with the actor Michael Douglas, I think it was, not being the producer of that. And tying in the show today with the
Mel Gibson,
Mel Gibson, right. Tying in the point today about what's going on over there regarding the Oslo cul-de-sac roadmap.
Right.
The same thing happens here in the United States. In our poor inner cities, you know, there's no hope, there's oppression. And I'm not making excuses for the crime, but when people don't have any hope, or people don't have an avenue in which they can succeed or at least receive the basic, they have a basic quality of life, they resort to violence. And that is the same thing that we're seeing throughout the world today.
Yeah, well, it's the old saying is poor people have poor habits. You keep people in poverty in an institutional manner and they react badly. Kodak, let's leave it at that so I can get my guest. Thank you so much for joining us as usual. I appreciate it. Joining us now is an old friend of the Peter Werbe Show, Rabbi Michael Lerner, and welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And we wanted to talk about this very important conference, a teach-in to Congress that Tikkun, your organization, is putting together, the Tikkun Community Conference. It's going to be June 1st through the 4th in Washington, D.C. And we spoke about the Middle East and conditions there just about an hour earlier, and our guest, Catherine Cook, from the Middle East Research and Information Project, she stressed the need for citizen involvement. And this is really what this is all about, isn't it?
Yes, we're trying to get people to come to Washington, and we'd also like people in the Washington area to come to this and to talk to Congress about a new path, what we're calling a progressive middle path, a path that is both pro-Israel and pro-Palestine, and that insists that there is no contradiction between these two. Unlike AIPAC and the big, powerful lobby that has been the pro-Ariel Sharon lobby that has shaped so much of American foreign policy in the past few years in regard to Israel, we are a group that recognizes that the best interests of the State of Israel lie in peace and reconciliation with the Palestinian people, and that means that they have a real, not a symbolic, but a real state that is economically and politically viable.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, that the real interests of the Palestinian people lie in peace and reconciliation with Israel, which means that Israel has to have real security, not just promises about security. It has to have real security. So we're coming with a resolution to Congress that we have worked out that shows a middle path and can give direction for how you can achieve both of these things. And in fact, we lay out what a settlement between the two sides could look like.
Okay. Well, one of the things that I've known about you and your organization, Rabbi Lerner, is that you come to almost everything with an open heart, open hands, the best of intentions. But one thing you don't bring that, for instance, like the American-Israel Political Action Committee, you don't come with money. And that's why one of the many reasons that that the pro-Sharon people have such clout is that they pay the bills. And we
yes,
know,
you're absolutely right. And the truth of the matter is that many people who are peace-oriented and who have a good heart are not willing to put their money or their time behind their ideals. And so, yes, they are willing to come to a march on a Sunday afternoon. But when it comes down to the hard work of, number one, raising the money to support the people who articulate their perspective, and number two, coming to Congress, talking to people, being a physical presence, showing up with your own bodies in a sustained way, a lot of very wonderful, good people with good intentions don't do that. And, you know, you don't have to be rich to challenge AIPAC, because the truth of the matter is that AIPAC, although it has a lot of money, it has a lot of money from a relatively small base. Most Americans don't really think it's just fine for Israel to endlessly occupy the West Bank and Gaza and deny the Palestinians their rights. But most Americans have kept out of the issue. If every single person who was listening to your show would send us $25, you don't have to be rich.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, to play a role in raising money for an alternative voice. So you're right that we don't have that yet. And but part of the reason that we're coming to Washington is we hope that we will show that there is this other path and attract people to get beyond their defeatism, their cynicism, their despair, their isolation, and be willing to put some money or some time behind a venture for Middle East peace that is not the the politics of AIPAC and of the right wing of the Jewish establishment, but rather of those of us who love Israel, but also understand that Israel's best interests are served by peace and reconciliation. And that means an open heart, a new spirit of generosity, an overcoming of the blame game in which each side tries to portray the other as the bad guy and the other and their own side as the pure good guy, and move towards a different kind of politics. We're talking about a politics of reconciliation, and that depends on a spirit of atonement, repentance for the way in which both sides have been unnecessarily cruel and hurtful to the other. Neither side has clean hands here, and both sides need to repent.
Well, let's take a look at this just extraordinary conference that is going to be taking place in Washington on,
June 1st to 4th.
Yeah, the Tikkun Teach-In to Congress. It's spelled T-I-K-K-U-N.
And you can... Two K's there, T-I-K-K-U-N, yeah.
And
by the way, for people who want to come to the our website, it's www.tikkun.org.
Mm-hmm. Good. That's good information to have. That'll take you to the information about the teach-in.
For registering for the teach-in or for joining the Tikkun community, because some people who can't come to the event might nevertheless say, yeah, I can't be there, but I want to support it, and here's the way. You can join the Tikkun community at www.tikkun.org.
Now, one of the things that struck me, I first learned about this, actually, I think we talked quite a few months ago, and you alerted that this was going to happen, but I saw a full-page ad on the back page of The Nation magazine, and I was astounded by the number of people from so many different aspects of the progressive movement that are going to be there, and maybe you could just relate a few of the better-known people who are going to be in attendance.
Yes, well, we're among the speakers are Congressman Dennis Kucinich and Barney Frank, Ziad Asali, who is the chair of the Arab American Discrimination Committee, Yitzhak Frankenthal, who is an Israeli who's coming from Israel, who is the chair of the bereaved parents, and this is parents both Israeli and Palestinian whose children have been killed either by terror or by the occupation, and they've formed one organization because the parents on both sides, recognizing how crazy this situation is that is killing off the children on both sides, and these are actual parents whose kids were killed, a tragedy. But so Yitzhak Frankenthal. Then we have the Reverend Bob Edgar, who is the chair of the National Council of Churches. Reverend Jim Wallace, who is the editor of Sojourners, right there in Washington. Then we have some of the greatest spiritual leaders of our time who are not part of specific religious traditions. They include Deepak Chopra, Marianne Williamson.
From Detroit, where I'm broadcasting from.
From Detroit.
From, yeah.
Neil Donald Walsh, Rabbi Arthur Waskow. We also have Rabbi Brian Walt, who's the chair of Rabbis for Human Rights in the United States. Then we have people like Medea Benjamin, who is one of the leaders of the one of the major anti-war coalitions, and we have the former Congressman Andrews, who's the chair of the Win Without War, which was another one of the major anti-war coalitions, and the list goes on and on. It's an amazing gathering of fantastic people, but we'd like to have some more people from Washington, D.C. We noticed in our sign-ups that We don't have that many people coming from Washington. We've got a lot of people coming from other parts of the country.
Well, my guess is Rabbi Michael Lernin, we're talking about the Thakun community teach-in to Congress that's coming right up. Here is email, calltalkyes@yahoo.com. It's from Ashkan. He says, Dear Mr. Werby, I'm glad for the coverage you're having about Palestine and Israel. You had a typical American, as she called herself last hour, and now having a Jewish rabbi. They're not pro-Israeli, but in fairness, I hope you will have a Palestinian or at least an Arab on soon. He suggests Hussein Ibish from the American Arab American Anti-Discrimination Committee, who we've had on actually several times before.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you, I was actually brought to task, and I said correctly so, because I, in talking to our guest last hour, I said American Jews are often suspicious of Palestinians because, and a guy named Joe wrote in and said, you know, you're making this sweeping generalization. The Jewish community is widespread in its opinions. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that it's certainly true that there are many different voices in the Jewish world, and I'm one. And the it's also true that the organized Jewish community, which we should distinguish from the Jewish community. See, this is the difference. There are a lot of Jews in this country who are very alienated from the organized Jewish community, in part because the organized Jewish community, led by this group called AIPAC, American Israel Political Affairs Committee, tends to label anybody who criticizes Ariel Sharon's policies as either anti-Semitic or as a self-hating Jew. And that creates a climate inside the organized Jewish community in which the many people who disagree with Israeli policy feel that they can't really say that publicly lest they be labeled as an extremist within their own communities.
Mm-hmm.
And so very often you find a lot of people in a synagogue, let's say, who disagree with Ariel Sharon's policies, but they're afraid to say that and they don't know about each other because – since nobody gets up and says, well, wait a second, I represent the other point of view, then all the others who feel that are thinking to themselves, well, I'm the only one. So one of the reasons why we've created this national organization, the Tikkun community, is to allow for all Americans, not just Jews, but Jews and Christians and Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists and secular humanists who don't believe in God or whatever, to all come out of the closet, because there's so many Americans who really wish for a just solution. They don't go along with the Ariel Sharon policy of perpetuating rule over the Palestinians forever. They don't go along with some of the Palestinian rhetoric that delegitimates the state of Israel and makes it seem as if they can't wait to get rid of all the Jews in that area. They want a middle path, a balanced middle path. And that's why we have created the Tikkun community, to make people visible to each other. But in the meantime, your statement is not really that wrong, because there's in the organized Jewish community, there is a lot of fear around saying these things publicly. And people like myself who do say them publicly are often stereotyped, marginalized. We're told that we have no real constituency, that we don't represent anything, even though, in fact, we have thousands of people who have already joined the Tikkun community.
Now, this is going to be an amazing event, and we'll certainly alert people besides this conversation we're having, in the next week as well, right in front of it.
Right.
So it's
you.
The Tikkun Teach-In to Congress. It's going to happen in Washington, D.C., June 1st to 4th. It's you can go to tikkun.org, T-I-K. K-U-N. It's double K. I'll put this on my website as well.
I can also give you, just in case people don't have access to the web and want to call, the number to call is 510-644-1200. That's 510-644-1200 to just speak directly to a person who could help them register for the conference or tell them, send them the schedule or whatever they need.
Thank you so much for being with us, Rabbi Lerner, as usual. I appreciate it. Thanks for joining us on the Peter Werby Show. Here's Marcus in Florida. Marcus, it's Peter Werby at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome. Thanks for waiting.
Yeah, I just want to say I really appreciate your last guest. What I wanted to talk to him about, and I can like to mention this out a little bit, is that, you know, whenever you talk to somebody who's Jewish that you don't agree with the politics of Israel, they just automatically, like, tell you to get out your Nazi uniform and like you're some anti-Semitic, and they take real offense when you say, you know, I don't think I like the idea of the Israeli government shooting protesters who are trying to protect Palestinians' homes.
Mm-hmm.
And they just make it sound like you're a horrible person, and that's all I have to say about it.
All right, thank you very much. Appreciate your call. And, yeah, we have to be careful about linking criticisms of Israel with anti-Semitism. And also, we have to not necessarily, please hear that word, link even stupid anti-Semitism with this exterminationist policies of the Nazis, or for that matter, the historic discrimination that Jews have experienced all around the world. It's easy to dislike groups of people because of what a segment of them does. And think about the French. You know, I mean, now there are a lot of stupid Americans that are anti-French, and that's okay. You know, we can be anti-French. If you're anti-Jewish, that's thought of to be very terrible. And the reason it's thought, it's terrible to be anti-anybody, you know, as a group. And the reason that it's thought bad to be anti-Semitism is because of the historic roots of anti-Semitism. But, I don't know. I guess I can't put it all together in the about 15 seconds I got left. But I guess the main thing is, and Marcus was absolutely correctly, everybody has every right, Jewish or Gentile, to criticize Israel. And don't see it as a plot, that's all.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come into Napa Auto Parts, because you can get two cans of Benz Oil Fix-A-Flat for just $5. This is good stuff. It's a really quick, safe way to get a flat tire reinflated, sealed, and ready to roll. Hey, a lot of us will be traveling this summer. Let's do it safely. Before you hit the road, be sure to check your tire pressure, and don't forget to stock up on Fix-A-Flat. At $2 for $5, it's easy to have a little peace of mind along for the ride.
Get the good stuff.
Napa. Get the good stuff.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit, no credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
As a child, I spent a lot of time at the big
office building,
just reading books. My mom insisted I stay in
the highway on-ramp
to finish my education. So she dropped me off at the
office building
before going to her second job. She didn't want me working at the
vacant lot
like my dad.
When we lose a historic place, we lose a part of who we are. To learn how you can help protect places in your community, visit nationaltrust.org. History is in our hands. A message brought to you by the National Trust for Historic Preservation and the Ad Council.
Attention all plaintiffs. Personal injury, negligence, premises liability, medical malpractice, product liability, commercial cases. Receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Call now, 800-586-5493. Get cash now on your pending lawsuit. No risk, no payments. We only collect when your case is settled. Call 800-586-5493. Express Lawsuit Funding can help you. 800-586-5493.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off
Houston Church.
Your suggestions?
I think Doug Stephan should be on all day, 24-7. Yeah.
Your questions?
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by the good will and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
Are you tired of being yelled at, preached at, lectured to, demagogued, ridiculed, moralized, proselytized, and abused? Why don't you try something new? Join me, Nancy Skinner, on IE America Radio Network, where we can discuss the issues of the day from a whole new and healthier perspective. Nobody gets fed to the lions, everybody has a right to their opinions, and the best thing is you walk away feeling better about life.
That's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Pop, weekdays from 10 to noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Tired of the same old conservative blather on talk radio? Want a different slant on politics in the world than what's offered up by right-wing wacko talk show hosts? Then join me, Peter Werbe, 2 to 5 p.m. It's my new time, that's Eastern time, weekdays, for an alternative not often heard on the AM band. If you want to hear a talk show host that opposes Bush's wars, challenges corporate rule, defends the interests of working people, the environment, and a woman's right to choose, then join me, Peter Werbe, in my new time slot, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern time.
Republicans, line up for duty. Where are you going? Hey!
Chicken hawks. Chicken hawks. Chicken hawks. Chicken hawks. Chicken hawks.
Trent Lott.
He didn't serve.
Dick Cheney.
He didn't serve.
John Ashcroft.
He didn't serve. And George Bush was A-W-O-L. Chicken hawks.
Back to the show. It's Peter Werbe. Call Peter at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937.
He didn't serve. Man, I can't sing. Marilyn's right, isn't she, Jalene Jordan?
No.
He didn't serve.
You're not a bad singer. You're really not.
It's such a lack of confidence. And every time I start to sing, you know how women do that? They raise their eyebrows and they say, and she says, don't sing in public.
Yeah, my husband has a tendency to do that.
Sing in public?
And he sings real loud
oh,
in
I don't
the backyard.
Do that. Yeah, really?
Yes.
I mean, what's the occasion? Just hanging out?
No, you know, he's a rocker. Peter.
I know. So, I mean, he just bursts into song?
He's listening, he bursts into songs, listening to his radio stations. It's just a rock and roll world here.
Hey, it is. We were talking about the decks of cards, and they didn't do too well with the decks of cards they gave out to, the soldiers in Iraq. But Aaron writes into calltalkyes@yahoo.com, not only has the U.S. failed to catch many Iraqis on the decks of cards, those they did catch would make for a losing hand in most card games. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Well, John Lucas, thank you for putting that up. I haven't a clue what AT is. Atlanta? Okay, well, gee, all right, I guess. Here's Will in Atlanta. Will, it's Peter Werbe and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK. He's love to guess. Hi, Will.
Hey, Peter, I appreciate it.
Thank you.
The losing hand we have is sitting in the White House.
Absolutely.
And it's worse that he didn't serve. He cut in front of an 18-month waiting line and slid under a locked door. You couldn't get into the guard when he got in.
Unless you're a rich kid.
Well, but then it was a corrupt criminal connection.
Sure, it was, and which meant probably somebody else went to Nam and died or got crippled or got addicted to drugs.
Yeah. Right, and it just shows what a bad family he comes from. It's no coincidence his dad was in on the Kennedy hit. I just emailed you the documents that prove it. No sense mincing words about it. We're dealing with a bunch of assassinating traitors, and it's also no coincidence that the grandfather was Hitler's banker. I mean, it's the same team, and we better wise up. And I say the handle we can get on this thing is the fact that we can prove for a grand jury that his dad was in on the CIA hit. And all the documentation is there with the jury finding in the Hunt versus Liberty Lobby case.
You know, Will, we're going to have to talk about this another time. You probably hear the music coming up. That means we're out of here. And this is a big subject, and a lot of it. I appreciate it. I will look at that email. You go to awalbush.com. That's where part of it is. And when Mike Malloy, our colleague on the network here, talks about the Bush crime family, that's exactly what Will is talking about. Thank you, Will. Call us again, and we got more time, and we'll talk more about it. By the way, Jalene Jordan, don't believe the hype. A lot of listeners have written in to say it's a rap song from Public Enemy. She ain't there. I'm here by myself. All right. Okay, there's even, we don't have time. Lots more of things we found out. We'll tell you all tomorrow. Peter Werby saying have a great, great day.
You've been listening to The Peter Werby Show on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Now, you go make a difference.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind